let the grade get set up. Renee, you all set?
Yep.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Kupinski? Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Ms. DePasquale?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak? Mr. Dasko?
Here.
Ms. Majewski?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Mr. Neff?
Here.
Ms. Walter?
Here.
Mr. Barrymore?
Here.
Mr. Harala?
Here.
Thank you very much for that. Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. We're going to stand now for a silent prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will open the floor now for any public comment for items which are not on this evening's agenda. Seeing none, do we have any on Zoom?
No attendees.
Thank you very much. Pending litigation, Mr. Stibe?
Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to announce that there is none.
Outstanding. Any other business from the board members? Seeing none, I need a motion to adjourn the workshop meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn, Jasko.
I'll second, Majewski.
All in favor?
Aye.
We'll now begin this evening's regular meeting with a roll call, please.
Mr. Kupinski? Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Ms. DePasquale?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak? Mr. Dasko?
Here.
Ms. Majewski?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Mr. Neff?
Here.
Ms. Walter?
Here.
Mr. Barrymore?
Here.
Mr. Harala?
Here.
Thank you very much. Next item is the approval of meeting minutes for June 5th and 12th of 2025. But before we take that vote, I know that Mr. Neff had an addendum that he forwarded. I just want to make sure that was included.
Yes.
Yeah, very well. So we need a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve, DePasquale.
Second, Hawley.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Ms. DePasquale?
Yes.
Mr. Dasko?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Next item is a resolution to appoint Mr. Douglas Rohmeyer as engineer for the Planning Board of Atlantic Islands. Is this just an up and down vote?
This is going to be a motion, second, and vote. As you know, Mr. Rohmeyer has changed the firms that he works for. The board had a contract for the year 2025 with CME Associates. The board members indicated to me a desire to continue Mr. Rohmeyer as the board engineer. I communicated with Mr. Rohmeyer. He indicated that he would like to continue that position. I communicated with CME Associates, and they indicated that they did not want to get in the or interfere with the board's smooth operations, and we're willing to go through a transition and allow Mr. Rohmeyer and this board to terminate their existing contract with the provision that they will be paid for the work that they've done up through, including the transition, and the new contract will be with Mr. Rohmeyer under his new firm with Colliers. And we're looking for a motion, a second, and then a roll call vote to confirm that.
I'll make a motion. Majewski?
I'll second. Yes.
Mr. Rowley?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Pasca?
Yes.
Mr. Jaska?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Thank you very much, everyone. I look forward to continuing to serve the board, and I appreciate the desire to transition. Thank you.
Good, I got you. Welcome back, Doug. Thank you very much. The board appreciates both Doug's patience and Sammy and Collier for working so well together. It really made for a seamless transition, and it was really to the benefit of not just the board, but to the community at large as well. So welcome back, Doug. We're going to backtrack to the approval of the attorney vouchers for May and June 2025. Need a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Jaska.
I'll second. Neff.
Mr. Rowley?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Ms. Pasca?
Yes.
Mr. Jaska?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
All good.
Next item is a resolution to dismiss without prejudice the Gordon application, PB 2417, 12 Bayside Drive.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, you did receive a request from the attorney for the applicant indicating that they were reviewing and revising your application, and that the process was going to take a fair number of months, and rather than hold us up on our agenda carrying an application, they considered preferring withdrawing it and then coming back when they're ready to go.
Very well. Okay, so we'll need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I need somebody else to make a motion.
I'll second the motion.
No, I need somebody to make the first motion. You weren't here for the meeting.
Go ahead. You make the motion. I'll second.
I'll make the motion. Yes.
Yes. I'll second when it.
Sorry.
That's okay. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Mr. Rowley?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Pasca?
Yes.
Mr. Jaska?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Mr. Harala?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Before we get to our new applications, Mr. Stibe, you have some information about the Loud application, 86 Third Avenue, PB 25-02.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I've reviewed service in connection with that application. The service was not in order. The applicant properly noticed in the newspaper and sent out notices to the adjoining property owners. However, there were four property owners that they did not notice at the mailing address on the certified tax list. They either mailed to the property address rather than the address they were supposed to, or in one case, noticed a completely different address and was on the list at all altogether. That case is going to be carried to the August meeting, which is, I believe, the 7th. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So if anyone is in the audience who has an interest in that application, it's the Gordon, the Loud application, 86 Third Avenue, Block 89, Lot 3.02, bulk fire lease application. That is going to be carried to the August 7, 2025 meeting. There will be no further notice given. I'm not going to make them republish in the newspaper. I'm not going to have them serve the people that they properly served by certified mail, but they will have to serve those four persons that they misidentified and misdirected their mailing to for the August meeting. And there will be no additional notice. Only those four people will get a special notice.
Thank you very much. That brings us to new application PB 24-12, Wareling Moody, 99 Center Ave, Block 134, Lot 11.
Mr. Chairman, I reviewed the service for this application. The service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the application. So Mr. Alfieri is here on behalf of the applicant, and I would like to indicate to the board that those items that we have received in evidence thus far in connection with the case. And I'm hoping Mrs. Smith can hear me. Okay. Exhibit A1 is a zoning denial letter from your zoning officer, Michelle Clark. Exhibit A2 is an application of Yvonne Moody and Danielle and Zachary Winterling. That's dated July 1, 2024. Exhibit A3 is a deck repair plan prepared by Eastern Civil Engineering LLC. That's dated January 14, 2024, revised through April 8, 2025. Exhibit A4 is review number one of CME Associates. That's dated October 4, 2024. And Exhibit A5 is review number two of CME Associates. That's dated May 28, 2025. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of that have been submitted thus far in connection with this case. This is a D2 variance, so the class one and three board members need to step down if they have not already done so. And I think they have.
They have, yeah.
Left the dais. And Mr. Alfieri is here on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Stibe. Good evening, chairman, members of the board. Dante Alfieri on behalf of the applicant. As Mr. Stibe stated, we are here with regards to 99 Center Avenue. My client is proposing to replace an existing deck with a new deck. It's an existing single-family home. There is a second structure, which is an accessory structure. It has a garage, and it does have a residence on the second floor. We are proposing, again, towards the rear of the property, a new deck to replace the existing deck. I do have one individual to provide testimony tonight. He's going to be wearing two hats, one as an engineer and one as a planner, Mr. Stockton. So without further ado, I'm going to have him introduced and sworn in.
Raise your right hand to be sworn. Do you just swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, yes.
And name and address for the record.
My name is Andrew Stockton. My company is Eastern Civil Engineering LLC, 31 Grand Tour, Highlands, New Jersey.
Been here before in both capacities as a professional engineer and planner?
And as a professional land surveyor, too.
So three hats, actually.
Just give a 30 second.
Please provide your...
So I am licensed in New Jersey as a professional engineer, land surveyor, and planner, and all my licenses are in good standing and current. I've been licensed as an engineer since 1991 and as a land surveyor and planner since 1990. I also hold engineering and land surveying licenses in a couple of different states on the East Coast here. I've testified here before this board, as well as about 66 different municipalities across more than half the counties across the state, projects large and small. And I also, for a long time, I served as a planning division in my hometown.
Thank you very much.
Any questions from the board as to his credentials? Credentials accepted.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Stockton, you've reviewed the site and you have prepared the plans that are before the board tonight?
Yes, I have.
So, can you please orient the board to the site and discuss what we are here seeking?
Okay. So, for the record, the subject property is Lot 11 in Block 134. It's at 99 Center Avenue, and that property is located at the intersection of Center Avenue and Avenue C, right across the street from St. Agnes Church. The site is 50 feet of lot frontage along Center Avenue and 130 feet of frontage along Avenue C. It's a corner lot in the R1 zone, and there are two existing buildings on the property. The first, or the principal building, is a single-family residence facing Center Avenue, and the second is an existing carriage house detached garage with an apartment above, and that has its garage door facing Avenue C. Those buildings, as near as we can tell, have been on the property in this configuration, in this layout, since about 1904, about 120 years ago now that they've been there, which I'm giving an educated guess that that probably predates the land use ordinance in the town. There is, for the whole reason we're here, is to replace the existing back stairway and porch to the garage apartment, second floor garage apartment, and its main access is down sidewalks on either side of that building from Avenue C
to the back of the building, and that's where the main stairway up and into that living space of the apartment is now. Those stairs are old and getting rickety and in need of replacement, and the idea behind the replacement is to remove them and construct a new elevated deck at the second floor grade with a new spiral stairway coming down to grade. The way that we ended up picking this layout was through several iterations or design ideas through the process of coming up to this layout, where originally we had a new deck across the back of the building as pretty much as shown on the current plan, but we had a landing and a sidewalk that came down along the southerly side adjacent to the right side of the building onto the existing sidewalk there. That layout, when we submitted that application paperwork, we found that in addition to the what's being called the expansion of a non-conforming use for the existing structure, that layout with the stairway coming down the right side of the building, even though it's more feasible tying into the existing sidewalk that's there, caused the need for a side yard setback variance. So in discussions, we revised the plans, tried to work something out that would eliminate the need for any side yard or rear yard setback variances, in particular to the accessory use. So we have the accessory use as the detached garage with the apartment complex and an accessory structure, the new deck associated with that. That accessory structure, the new deck that we're proposing, is set up on the plan to meet the side yard setback requirement adjacent to lot 10. The ordinance requires a minimum 5 feet for the R1 zone, and we have 5.2 feet designated on the plan. And then if the deck is also set to meet the minimum rear yard setback requirement in the R1 zone adjacent to lot 12, we show 7.2 feet to the line of the deck and 5.2 feet to the line of the spiral stairway that we have on the plan now. So the way that we set it all up, even though we have a nonconformity with regard to the existing use of the property with the two dwellings on the property, the proposal is set up to meet those setback requirements for the deck itself. In the review letters that we got for the project, they point out and call this an expansion of a non-conforming structure, and your ordinance has provisions in there that document what we're supposed to do, and that's what triggered the need that for the D2 variance that we're here for tonight. And that's the gist of what we're proposing.
Correct. And with regards to the site itself, I know the plans don't show any plantings or anything along those lines. Could you just explain to the board that if there are any existing landscaping or buffering?
Yes.
On the site?
During the course of my survey work that I prepared originally for the title conveyance for the property when it was first bought, I did not locate any of the existing trees. That's not really a normal course of the survey work. But I did take the time to, and maybe we should mark these as exhibits too, I did take the time to download and print some pictures from street view pictures from Google Maps that kind of show the existing trees and the yard area and the structure that we have. I brought 3 copies of each, so we might have to.
So everyone to mark this as A6?
This is the A6. How many photographs are in this set?
3 altogether. There's 2 views basically. One view shows the carriage house building and the left side yard area. The next photo shows the carriage house building and the right side yard area with the neighbor's driveway. And then I brought an aerial image that might be helpful to see how the adjacent buildings are oriented around the subject property.
So the Google map, three photos will be exhibit A6, A through C, and the aerial will be A7.
Aerial A7, you said?
Correct.
There's, that's all three, right there?
Yes. And I'd also like to point out that since the application was filed, my client also installed six giant green arborvitaes along the fence line between lot 12 and the subject lot 11.
I don't care. Three copies of it, if you don't mind passing them.
Are there sufficient copies that we could provide something if anyone in the audience wanted to come up and take a look at these?
Yeah, we can hold on.
So the photos do show that there are a couple trees on the property and the view through the property to the neighboring properties. The one photo showing the yard area between the left side of our carriage house garage and the right side or the rear of the existing dwelling on our property shows the fenced-in area and an existing tree in the yard opposite the back right corner of the existing house. That photo also shows the neighboring property at lot 12 in block 134, that there's a large, it's red in the photo, large, I think it's a red maple tree there. And then the second photograph showing the right side of the carriage house building and the neighbor's driveway next door also shows that there's a large tree on the neighbor's property right to the right side, back right corner of our existing building. So there is existing landscaping there. Mr. Alfieri pointed out that just recently the applicant planted a number of green giant arborvitaes. They'll grow into place and provide additional buffering with everything that was proposed. There's the exhibit on the plan. Perfect.
Mr. Stockton, you reviewed the CME letter dated May 28th?
I have, yes.
Were there any comments in their report that we cannot comply with?
The short answer is no. There's everything in the review letter that we can comply with. I think there are just some text edits or little cleanup things to review individually, engineer to engineer, if that's okay.
We have no issues with that. And then just for the board's education, if you don't mind running through the existing conditions and then ultimately what we are seeking tonight on the planning side.
Okay. So I mentioned the layout with the existing conditions, the two existing buildings on the property, the primary use in the existing single-family dwelling that fronts Center Avenue, and the accessory building, the carriage house garage building that fronts on Avenue C. The need to repair or replace the existing stairway and back porch with the new deck, and everything that we went through with regard to the various iterations in the design to come up with what's before the board tonight. The replies that we got in the review and in discussing the project scope of work with the borough's zoning officer is that this is technically an expansion of a non-conforming structure, and that expansion actually implies some kind of intensification to the non-conforming condition that exists on the property, and that's why we're here tonight for the use variance review. I mentioned the longevity of the existing structures on the property. They've been that way for a long, long time. We're not changing the use. After what we're doing is done, we'll still have the existing single-family dwelling and the existing carriage house garage with the apartment above. We're just trying to expand a little bit the structure in the back. The existing porch is about 4 feet by 4 feet 3 inches, and the existing stairway is about 3 feet 8 inches wide from that porch grade down to the yard grade. And altogether, that is about 55 square feet in the existing condition. What we're proposing, the new deck is 8 feet by 18 feet 3 inches, and that together with the layout of the spiral stairway provides a new deck footprint of about 111 square feet. 121 square feet. And then the difference between the two was about 111 square feet. The existing porch sticks out about 4 feet. The new deck will stick out about 8 feet, and that difference is really only about 4 feet of an extension from the back of the house towards the back rear corner of the property. And it's not a, in my mind, it's not a significant impact to the layout or the use of the property or anything that changes how it might impact any of the existing property surrounding us.
So you would say essentially that what is existing as a deck and porch is still going to be utilized as such, but what's being proposed is more practical application.
More practical application for the tenant of the apartment. Right.
Thank you.
Yep.
And with that, we open the board up.
I just want to check my notes to make sure I covered everything. I think I covered everything.
I think, in my opinion, I think the variance for this project can certainly be granted without causing any substantial detriment to the public good and without impairing the intent or purpose of the borough zoning ordinance as well, too. I think I can point out several of the purposes of zoning at ordinance section 150-2 that are certainly advanced by what we're proposing. And the way that I think I've explained it in for the project, I don't think what we're proposing causes any substantial detriment to the public good or surrounding neighborhood at all. What we're proposing, it really isn't out of character at all with the surrounding neighborhood. Most of the houses around have decks in their backyards. Some even have decks in their backyards, similar to what we're proposing in close proximity to the rear yards. But as I mentioned, our setbacks do meet the criteria for the accessory structure side and rear yard setbacks.
If you don't mind running through the points that we would be advancing.
Purposes of zoning in section 150-2, I see purposes C, G, and I would be advanced, so I can make arguments that they're advanced for the proposal that we have. C is to provide adequate light, air, and open space. And there we have no impact to existing lot coverage or building coverage on what we're doing. The deck is set to be at the second floor level. It'll have gaps in the spacing of the boards in it, and no impervious coverage being added below it. So there's no impact to existing building or lot coverage with this proposal. The project, we're not changing impervious coverage, and altogether shown on the plan, impervious coverage right now stands at 37.1%, and up to 50% is allowed in the zone. So with what we're doing, adequate light, air, and open space remains. G is to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of residential, recreational, or commercials and commercial uses and open space, both public and private. This is a private use. In order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens, and certainly what we're proposing with the new deck layout helps meet that goal. It provides an aesthetic and a useful improvement for the well-being of the tenant of the building. and then I promote a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangements. And as I mentioned, the several iterations that we went through in our design process helps meet that goal, as well as the new deck, new construction being better than the existing condition certainly provides a structural and a better visual enhancement to help support that.
Thank you, Mr. Stockman.
Thanks very much.
We have nothing further. We open the board, open up to the board for any questions.
Open up for questions. Doug, do you want to lead off?
Sure. I believe the exhibit that's provided and on the screen is that it's referenced as a deck repair plan. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I called it.
The existing deck itself, is that in the same horizontal location with regards to the southern side lot line, or is the proposed deck further towards the side lot line? I'm having just a little trouble seeing where the existing deck is.
So, you can point to, I don't have a laser pointer to point to the exhibit.
You want to use the mouse?
Yeah, actually, that might work.
It's inset from the side of the second principal structure,
right,
correct?
So the new deck area is right here where the mouse is. The southerly side of the new deck and the southerly side of the existing porch are coincident right at the back corner of the building there. It may be a couple inches different, but that's the existing porch, and it doesn't really show in the elevation views at all, but it shows in the plan view. The existing porch is right there.
So it's set in a little bit, and the proposed deck is getting a little closer to the property line. Is that accurate?
An inch or two, yes. But still meeting the, like I said, it's 5.2 feet off the side, and the setback for an accessory structure is 5 feet minimum.
All right, well, let's get right to that then. The apartment above the garage, is there a floor plan available for that? Have you provided that?
I was only in the apartment one time. But not to
can anybody give some testimony as to how the layout works, how it operates? Is there a bathroom? Is there a kitchen? Is it a dwelling unit on its own?
Yes, it is a dwelling unit on its own. Honestly, I don't remember the layout. When you go in that door, whether you go into a kitchen area or foyer, I don't remember that part. So I don't have a floor plan of the.
So we're operating under the assumption that it's a standalone dwelling unit, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You've read the May 8th, 2025 CME report?
Yes.
The CME report finds that the property has two standalone principal uses, and that's why we're here tonight for use variance, because two principal uses are not permitted within the zone.
I saw that, and I don't know that I 100% agree with that assessment of the property. I think there's actually case law, one that I found in reviewing Cox in preparation for the hearing tonight.
And the reason I'm asking this, because if it's a second principal use, it would be subject to principal setback was right.
Yes,
it's not going to change where the structure sits with regards to the lot lines, but principal side yard setback is 10 foot requirement, and rear is 20 foot requirement.
So rear is right 10 and 20 foot
right
principal.
So
there is a case outlined in Cox called Orlowski versus Planning Board. And I think that actually confirms that in that case, there was a garage apartment created before the zoning ordinance, very similar to our case here. And that case confirmed that the garage apartment for that project was subordinate or had an accessory relationship to the principal residence. And to me, that's That's exactly why, what we have in this case, and I'm pretty sure it should be classified, or the Carriage House building on this property should be classified as an accessory structure rather than a second principal structure.
Yeah, that's where the CME report and my interpretation does not align. Our definition here of accessory structure is that something subordinate to the principals, but as you described the Carriage House, you have double garage and a full standalone dwelling unit above it. So I don't see it as ancillary or subordinate to the principal. How is it utilized? Is it a separate family or is it one family? Like, how do you actually use this?
The way it's used today is Danielle Winterling and her husband live in the main residence facing Center Avenue, and Yvonne Moody and her husband, the parents, live in the apartment, Carriage House apartment above the garage. So it's a family scenario, mother daughter family type scenario.
I believe it reads as two principal uses per our code and our definition. I recognize what you're saying about the longevity and the timeline for the construction of the same. That being said, the principal setbacks are 10 on the side and 20 in the rear. Whether it's considered accessory or principal, you still have your proposed, and correct me if I'm wrong, 4.1 to the side and 5.2 to the rear?
4.1 would be to the side, the right front corner of the Carriage House building to the side lot line. 5.2 would be the dimension to the deck. There is about, I think it was, from the back of the Carriage House building to the rear lot line adjacent to lot 12.
But that 15 feet is where you're proposing to occupy the elevated deck, correct? Right,
that would be the rear yard setback, I think, for this building if it was considered to be a 20-foot rear yard setback as a principal structure. So it would be an existing non-conforming condition in the existing case and in the proposed, and I think the proofs support setback variances just as they do for the expansion of the non-conforming structure variance as well.
The spiral stair comes down. You said there's no new impervious proposed. It comes down and terminates onto what, a pervious surface? How does it, there's no service walk associated with
that? No, there was, my recollection from when I did the survey of the property originally a couple of years ago, there was a pea gravel base underneath the existing porch and existing stairwell. So it would come down and terminate onto that.
Onto a gravel surface.
Right.
Okay.
And then there is an existing concrete sidewalk leading from the sidewalk along Avenue C down the right side of the building to the back of the building, and there's an existing sidewalk network. You could see it on the plan there on the left-hand side, as well as connecting the pedestrian travelway through the yard area to the back of the principal building, the main house.
So, just so we come full circle, the spiral stair comes within 5.2 feet of the rear.
Yes.
And the deck, proposed new deck, is 4.1 feet from the side.
No, the proposed new deck would be 5.2 feet to the side yard. The existing dwelling, the existing building, is 4.2 to the side yard. So the deck is inset a little bit. If you look at the plan view just below where you're pointing, the plan view over, no, even over here. Over here. Yeah, right there. That's the accurate plan view right there. The other is my my artwork interpretation.
Okay.
5.2 and 5.2. Thank you. That's all there.
I just want to be clear from my notes at this point. We're saying that this structure, the new structure, has a side yard setback of how many feet? Is it 5.2?
4.1 is to the existing side yard setback for the existing Carrick House building. 5.2 would be to the line of the deck in the back.
And how about the rear yard?
The main line of the deck is 7.2 feet, but the spiral stairway as it's inset into that corner of the deck is 5.2 feet. And that leaves enough room from the top of the spiral stair, basically the same 4 feet, 4 feet, 3 inches between the spiral stair and the back of the building where the door is.
Okay. And Doug, just let me swear your answers. Do you swear affirm that the testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Doug Romeyer, Board Engineer.
There was a comment, and I'm not sure that I was clear on the comment, relating to definitions. What were you referring to? Were you referring to the definition of a principal building?
So, chapter 156 definitions defines accessory building or structure as a subordinate building structure or use, the purpose of which is incidental to that of the main building.
Okay.
And when you look at the carriage house as it exists, you have, it looks like a two-car garage at the ground level, and then an independent dwelling unit by our definitions atop it. So it could be a standalone principal structure by itself.
Right.
And not ancillary or subordinate to the first.
How about the definition of principal building? That says, "In any district, any dwelling shall be deemed to be a principal building on the lot in which it is located."
That supports what we've said.
Okay. Thank you. Just want to get clear on what standard we're applying.
Okay.
Because I think the ordinance is clear in the definition of principal building.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah, one quick question is, the interior you mentioned, you didn't really know too much about, but is there a form of egress from the structure, from the residence above the carriage house, or is the spiral staircase?
This is the main access to the apartment unit. It's the stairway in the back of the building. It's the main doorway.
Could you speak a little bit about how the spiral staircase is going to be supported? Like, it comes down, what does it sit on? Is it on blocks? Is it on?
The center post will have some kind of footing below for us, like it's supposed to, yes.
Does the unit have its own separate utilities, like separate meters? And does it have a separate postal code, or, you know, mailing address than the main, the principal building?
No.
No.
So I have a question. I actually have been in this location. A friend of mine rented this years and years ago before the property was sold. My question is, you're going how many more feet out? Because I've been on that deck before, and it's a second story, and it does overlook three other pieces of property.
It'll be approximately 4 feet out.
Four more feet out?
Four more feet out, that's right. But in reality, I think with 4 more feet out, walking up the stairs as you do now, sitting or standing on that small back porch now, it's really not going to be any different impact of what you look at or who's looking at you from the neighboring properties or from the yard area of this property than having a better deck layout, a more usable deck layout for the tenant.
So you mentioned that other properties had similar deck. Do they have those decks on a second story? overlooking other properties.
I'd have to research that. I think in our iterations, I think we have some photos, but I don't have those with me here tonight. But in our research, I think we did find a few in the neighborhood that were second-story decks as well. And I know as you go down Avenue C, cross over Center Avenue towards Bay, there are three smaller houses with rear yards tight, and that's, I know they're in the neighborhood, four or five houses down on the left-hand side of Avenue C, off to the north of our site towards Bay, that are very similar to what we're proposing. I honestly don't know if they have second-story decks, but I know that they, from the aerial image that I submitted, that you could see decks on those properties too.
Considering it's a family situation, have they thought about overlooking their own property and expanding versus overlooking somebody else's property?
The well, the property that we're overlooking onto the rear yard of lot 12, I don't know that we'd even be here if we proposed a deck to the main structure. The distance between the main structure and the house on lot 12, that's about 17 feet. And the back corner of the house on lot 12 to the back corner, closest back corner of our carriage house, is about 35 feet. So it's not like you're looking directly into the windows of the house next door. You'd be looking through, and then one photo I showed is there's a big, a large red maple tree on lot 12 that helps buffer or screen that view that way. So you'd really only be looking into the yard area, and basically no different than standing on that back porch today looking into that yard area, or having people in the backyard of lot 12 looking at the back of the carriage house. And then from our discussion tonight, there are six new green giant arborvitaes grow tall and thin. Those will help screen that view even a little bit more with what we're proposing as well, too.
Good.
Does it make a difference, Mr. Romeyer, if it's this accessory structure or a standalone structure? Is we still asking for a variance regardless, right? Is it just wording we're talking about, or does it trigger something else?
Just dimension.
Yeah, I think it's with regard to expanding the non-conforming structure, that's what triggers the need for the D variance, the main purpose that we're here. The others are bulk variances for side yard and rear yard setbacks. If this is considered, which I think I hear the direction that it is considered, the second principal structure on the property, and all of the proofs that I've given so far and the support that I've given so far, it's just a dimensional thing right now. It's the same.
Can it be considered a standalone structure if it doesn't have its own water service, it doesn't have its own electric service, it doesn't have its own gas service? Can that still be considered a structure at that point? If it doesn't have its own electric meter, doesn't have its own gas service or water service or sewer service, is that still an accessory building?
I'm interpreting it as meeting the definition of a dwelling unit, which is bathroom and kitchen area. In review of online imagery, it looks like there was at some point its own electric meter, a separate meter.
Okay.
It appears to function and operate as a standalone principal use.
So technically, if it were connected to the house, it would be a mother daughter, it would just be part of
it. It would be
house.
A two family home, right. Potentially. Right. But these are two separate single family homes.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions from the board? Seeing none, do we have any questions from the public?
Thank you, Mr. Goldman.
still confused about egress and ingress. So if there was an injury on the second floor of the structure, how do the responders get that person to the ground? I hear circular staircase, but I don't hear about any other staircase. You cannot get a current down a circular staircase.
So,
Mr. Fisher, just put your name and address on the record so the council has it.
What's that?
Just put your name and address on the record so the council.
You're going quick. I couldn't keep up.
91/3 Avenue.
Thank you. So, as I mentioned in our case, I think there would be a preference to put a regular stairway, a more conventional stairway, down the right side of the building, causing the need for a side yard setback, which apparently with the two principal structures, we have that need already anyway. If the board saw fit to allow that stairway coming down the right side of the building, adjacent to the lot line on lot 10 onto the existing sidewalk area there, would come down and land basically right next to the driveway that exists, that gravel driveway that shows on that photograph there that exists on lot 10. It might be preferable to do that. And that was one of our first iterations in the design process that we had. But we really did struggle to try and eliminate the need for extra variances wherever we could. When we did put the spiral stairway on here, we did check with the building officials to make sure that what we did was code compliant to get onto that plan.
So if you were a responder, Mr. Stockton, how would you get that person down a spiral staircase? An injured person that cannot walk, him or her and two or three responders trying to carry that person down.
Somehow they would have to be carried down the stairway.
Really?
I don't know the answer. I'm not a first responder, so I...
Okay. That is impossible. So that is not feasible.
Sufficient, let me swear you in.
Yes, sir.
You may swear or affirm that any testimony you have given or may give in connection with this application be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
You're saying the spiral staircase meets the code for...
We checked with the building official in town.
As the only egress?
Yes, and that's why it was also chosen as a 6-foot diameter spiral stairway.
So that is the only egress. There's no internal stairs. There's nothing else other than circular stairs.
I understand your point, Mr. Fisher. No. And if it meets the code, there's nothing you can really do. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's
really,
yeah, it meets the code.
The board's going to say that's good. I don't think you want to do that.
Well, we're not saying that the code says it.
No, I understand, but you have the final word.
I think if this was going to be a general, I'm going to rent this out to the general public, you would not be seeing a spiral staircase on that for insurance purposes if you were going to rent that building out. I think because you are in a family situation, you have an expansion of the deck, you have the spiral staircase. That's my assessment by what I'm looking at. I can kind of tell this was a family situation just by the design of this because as a, you know.
Why don't we... With respectfully, instead of engaging in a back and forth at this point, we will have the opportunity to discuss as a board. The public will be able to make comments at that time, and we can handle it then rather than, you know, are we comfortable with that?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll make one final comment.
The comments are, is this the question period?
Questions.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Are you open to... We have to receive the variance anyway. So going back to the original design behind the straight staircase, which eliminates this entire conversation.
Yes, I think that would be a comfortable change for the plan.
And the reason that you went away from that was to avoid the need for a variance, which you now
right.
need
in,
anyway.
In our first submission to the zoning officer for the zoning permit, we had it set up that way. And the zoning officer came back and told us that that needed a side yard setback. And she actually mentioned that it was a five foot side yard setback requirement at that time.
Gotcha.
And then I think the discussions
between CME Associates and the zoning officer and the different plans that we had submitted. I think that's when the confirmation came that it probably could be two principal dwelling units on the property, each requiring the 20-foot rear yard and 10-foot side yard setback requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, which it sounds to be, whatever we do, looks like it's going to need a side yard setback variance. And if we turn this into a landing and a stairway that comes down to grade along that south side or the right side of the carriage house building, I think that would actually be a better design layout.
And Mr. Stockman, that was, you mentioned that it was the initial iteration, so your client might even prefer to have.
Yes.
We tried
stairways down to a landing and switchbacks to kind of fit everything in the backyard. We had discussions about bringing a landing and a stairway down the left side of the building, but it always came back to where it comes down along that existing sidewalk on the right side of the building always seemed to be one of the better options for the project.
So. Understood. Mr. Romeyer, how does this change the program here?
Am I clear that the proposal is being changed to stair on the south side of the carriage house building?
I think if the board directs that, yes.
We're not
directing it.
We're not.
You're going to direct. You're going to direct us. But we're kind of at a crossroads.
If the board is comfortable with that, I think we would have no problem modifying the plan to show.
Yeah, I think to that point, to Mr. Fisher's point, safety is paramount. So, requesting an additional variance from the board, opposed to dealing with the potential.
I can also tell you that if it was my parents,
yeah,
they would be like, absolutely not with this spiral staircase.
Would we be able to just carry forward with this, or do we need a new site plan?
Well, that plan was submitted to the board as an initial iteration, I believe.
Yes.
And yeah. I think if we go back to that, there was some question on, was it 0-foot setback to the side? Was it a negative? Were you over with
It wasn't over.
With the sonotube foundations, were they over the property line?
No, we wouldn't do that. But it would be, I think, at least a 3-foot wide stair, more like 3 feet 8 inches wide, where we have 4 feet 1 inches.
You have 4 feet 1 from the building to the side, and you have to put handrails in there. Yeah, if you set it at 0 feet, do you have a code compliant staircase? You can ask the board for a 0-foot setback along the entire side, right to the front.
Which is really no different than the existing sidewalk that's there now, too. So that might not be a bad recommendation.
That sidewalk, that's impervious or area?
The sidewalk is concrete.
It is concrete. It goes right to the...
It goes right from the sidewalk on Avenue C and terminates at the back line of the building.
Right.
Forward towards the street.
Right, yes.
So they wind up being halfway down the house
by the time. Right. Down the house. And then the only other thing to worry about with the stairway that does that is it passes by one of the windows, and we would have to change the glazing of the glass on the windows to be a little bit stronger so that they don't break if somebody's carrying
unless there's a railing on that, correct?
Right.
Yeah. But if you could squeeze the railing in and still stay on your property.
That'd make it awful tight, though.
Just so you want to discuss with your clients, make sure this is all acceptable with them, take 5 minutes and talk to them.
No, but that's a good point.
While we're all here, then we won't have to.
And just so we're sure that, you know, you're going to have footings, right, at the bottom of that staircase, at least, and maybe even one towards the back.
Right, but there is
stay on the
that will stay along our property.
Right.
Understood.
Okay. Yep.
And there is along that common lot line there with lot 10.
Yeah.
There is a post and rail fence, or there was a post and rail fence there at one time. So I think we would
agree
that as well. So I think that's the neighbor's.
Okay.
And then just one more time, if you are contemplating full second story deck on the rear of that second structure and then a stair on the south side, what's the reason that it can't be on the north side of the building and preserve some side yard setback?
Well, as I mentioned now, there's the existing walkway there now anyway, and it really doesn't impact anything but the proximity to the neighbor's driveway. The neighbor's house on lot 10 actually fronts, South Avenue. It's closer to South Avenue further away. So no real impact to anything on lot 10. It would take away a little bit of the usable yard area for the family in between the two dwellings to do that. But we did have that discussion as well.
But other than that, there's no structural reason why the stairway can't be on the north side of that building.
No, it would be the same physical layout either way. Right. But to us, it makes better sense to have it, and it's even a little more private to have it on the south side of the building.
Private to
the tenant of the carriage house apartment.
But it's family.
Okay. Well, it's family now.
So could have
right, but it hasn't always been.
Yeah.
There's been a number of renters in there over the years.
Probably looks better as far as you're driving down the street too. It doesn't really stick out. It's like a big wood staircase down the side of the house. Probably look better. It was
almost the original.
Sorry. This is about my. You want to see the original?
Do we have any other questions from the public? Do we have any on Zoom? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't see it on the show.
I didn't have a question before, sorry. I'm just trying to find a way over here. So, I do have a question.
Miss your name and address,
Michelle please. Walter, 36 South Avenue.
Go ahead.
And now that we're talking about the stairs going down behind on the side, as it was in the first iteration, which we're talking about it being private and not impacting safety is paramount. I guess my question is, I'd like to know how many inches from the line of the property that stair would go from lot 10.
Inches.
I believe it's inches.
Well, actually, as a land surveyor, I measure in tenths of a foot.
Okay.
Inches, I have to do the conversion.
Yeah.
So there's 4.1 feet from the building to the property line.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a 3 foot wide stairway or a 3 foot 4 inch wide stairway, that would be 3.3, and the difference between 3.3 and 4.1 is 0.8. About 9 or 10 inches.
9 or 10 inches, and there is currently a.
That would be the I think the absolute minimum. It may be a little bit less than 9 or 10, but it would be clearly on our property.
0.5 is what was on the original. Thank you.
Right.
Okay, so we're somewhere between 0.5 and
6 inches and 9 inches.
Okay. And there is, do you know what kind of fence is currently located on lot 10?
I think that was a posted rail fence framing the edge of the driveway and went a couple years ago when I did the survey. And then basically from about the back of the driveway on lot 10 to our rear property corner was a 6 foot high vinyl fence.
Okay,
and that may have changed over the years, but that was.
It's never been a vinyl in the last 15 years. So it's a stockade fence that's 6 feet high with a point.
Okay.
So I guess.
Then there is a vinyl fence going down the easterly lot line there, adjacent to lot 12. I know there's a vinyl fence with the lattice work on that.
Right, but what you're describing, just so I'm clear and everybody else is clear, I just want to know, where would these stairs be?
They would, there would be a landing at the back right corner of the. There would be a landing at the back right corner of the deck somewhere, and the stairs would go down and meet grade on the sidewalk on the.
So the deck would then be extended even further than the 5.2 that it is going past.
The landing would at least extend. You'd have a 4 foot
square landing or 4.5-foot square landing at the top.
So instead of taking more of the deck to start the stairs, you're saying, I guess I don't understand, how would that be pictured?
You have to get out beyond the house in order to have the stairs go down.
Okay, so how big was that landing proposed in the first iteration?
Originally, it was about 4-foot square.
So that'll be, the current, similar to the current size is what you're saying?
Right.
Except it's now extended further and closer to lot 10, and then running down the back?
That's right.
Okay. And who is that more private for?
It would be, like I mentioned, more private for the occupant, the tenant of the Carrick's House Garage.
Well, who would be seeing them from that way? That wouldn't be seeing them from this spiral staircase that is down. Private from their family, but it's okay for the neighbor. I know this is the question period, but we're looking to change this plan when I know that.
Well, Michelle, let me stop you there.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're not.
Stop me. Don't do that.
No, but what I'm saying is, the applicant hasn't decided to change the application.
Okay.
So what we're doing now is we're going to finish up with the question period, and we're going to allow.
Excellent.
Allow the applicant to speak with their professionals, and then they will tell us how they will proceed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we did a stairway down the right side of the Carrick House Garage, where it is and where it would meet grade is right adjacent to the stone driveway that exists on lot 10.
Right.
And the stone driveway that exists on lot 10 is basically right up to that common lot.
So all the ingress and egress of the house, instead of being where it currently is, where it is only to the edge of the actual building, and the staircase is seen by the property owner who lives in the principal structure number one, which is the family members. Now instead, the neighbors on South Avenue will be the ones witnessing the ingress and egress of the apartment dwellers.
That would be no different than anybody walking down the sidewalk to the back of the building along that right side now. The only difference would be somebody would walk partially down that existing walkway and then start going up the stairs if the stairs were there.
I'm not talking about the people on the sidewalk. They wouldn't have any reason to walk on that sidewalk because the entry is gained from the other side.
The walkway that's there now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
But why would you use that walkway if your stairs are open to the principal residence?
There's no reason to stop you from using that walkway.
You're right.
So you can walk down that walkway now into your backyard. So walking down that walkway in the future, if there was a stairway there, partially at grade and then up the stairs.
Of course.
There's no real difference.
People generally use a walkway to nowhere. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. But okay, and you think that's a safer way to handle going in now and more perfect.
Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I guess I do have a question for the board. If that can be stated here. So I guess I am concerned about the fact that perhaps by changing this iteration back, which is being carried with this spiral staircase at another location, I will say that I think that my question is, why wouldn't we have to bring that back here instead of changing it when other people might have been here had the iteration been walking up the stairs near lot 10. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Question.
It was the end of question format that I'm not able to get.
The answer to your question is that in the notice of hearing, there's a standard language that says the applicant reserves the right to amend the application during the course of the application to accommodate any recommendations of the board or the public. So that once you get notice, you notice that this is what we're asking for, but that it could be altered during the course of the proceedings.
And also, to be fair, they were both available. to the public as well. I understand, like, we're working, we began the conversation with the most recent, but to Mr. Stein's point, I mean, I don't think, I mean, I'm, who am I to disagree with Mr. Stein, but like...
I mean, I don't even know, do all of us have the original iteration? Is it all here? Can we refer to it?
Actually, yeah.
It is up on the screen, okay, so, all right.
It was a submitted plan.
Yes, okay, all right, thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Cheryl.
I'm just curious, because one of the board members mentioned this, because this is a family situation. Does that mean that if anything is approved here, that it comes automatically, that the property can never be rented? They can never rent it out to anybody else?
It does not. It does not.
Doesn't make any difference whether it's family or not, then, is what you're saying?
The land use law says you don't grant a variance for the owner. You grant the variance for the property.
Oh, okay. That's what I was curious about, because I just didn't understand that question. And to answer Mr. Stockton's not knowing whether there was utilities to that particular piece of property, those utilities always have been separate from the house. They were separate gas, and there was separate electric to that property. I don't know whether it's been changed. Thank you.
The utilities seem like they're still... They haven't been moved.
I'll double check.
So, yeah, so
the gas meter does show on the plan at the back left corner of the carriage house building. I just didn't show any of the sewer lines or the water lines or the drainage lines in the streets.
Right. Well, I'll double check that though.
Thank you. And just just so we all understand what, so that I understand what Ms. Smith was asking, so that certificate of occupancy just... It's a certificate of occupancy. It's not for your family. It's just, it goes from property owner to property owner because it's attached to the property, not the property owner, right?
Correct.
Correct. Right.
Well, I guess my question is it a legal rental?
Yes. Yes, it's a CO.
Has a CO.
Has a CO on the, correct, as a rental.
Yes.
And the main house.
Do we have any other questions from the public? Is anybody behind the board that I can't see?
Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher, 9130 Avenue. I understand you're going to close the question period and do the comment period after they convene. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to make the comment before they convene?
No. The reason that we are trying to finish up the questions first is we don't want to do this twice. The applicant is going to confer with their professionals after all of the questions have been asked. They will come back. They will tell us how they want to proceed. If we feel that it's appropriate to reopen the questions, we'll do so. But we're going to stick to the program. We're going to have the comment period at the end.
Okay, and I'll try the form that says a question. I heard that the stairs were 6 feet. That's allowable, which means the center post to the edge of the stairs is 3 feet. So imagine this 6 feet, and Mr. Stockton in that chair, and Mr. Alfieri trying to carry him down a 3 foot set of stairs. Just imagine.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody on Zoom before I forget that?
Nobody has their hand raised.
Any other questions from the public? Yes, ma'am, please come forward.
Faith Oscar, 33 South 7th Avenue.
Could you repeat your address again?
Oh, sorry. 33 and a half South Avenue.
Thank you.
I guess I'm trying to figure out how the property is deemed. Is it two primary residents then? If it's a legal rental?
Yes, it is two primary residences.
Okay, so it is primary. Because I guess if they enlarged the deck, it may not be an issue now. It's family, but when it becomes a rental out of family, then it's kind of more in your face, I think.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do we have any other questions before, sir?
Kevin Mill, 36 South Avenue. A question on those Google Earth pictures. Does anyone see in the proximity of maybe 5-6 houses down South Avenue, does any of those houses have a second story deck?
I don't know. Went through that at the board, but
yes, a question.
No, I.
What about Center Avenue?
I know that there are decks with similar layouts that we have in the plan view. Further down Avenue C, going towards the bank on the left hand side.
South Avenue, please.
On South Avenue.
And second floor, not deck layout, right, not plan view.
I don't know.
Plan view only shows from the top.
I don't know, but I've seen photographs. I don't exactly know where the house was of a similar layout.
Would you like me to give you the answer? The answer is no. How about Center Avenue? From that block. From Avenue C to Avenue.
Maybe down.
B from Avenue B to Avenue A.
Maybe down towards Zoe, but I don't know all of the
answer
yards.
No. The answer is no. Do you know how wide, and you may not know, but do you know how wide the homes that abut that particular property are?
Yes. And most of them are about 50 feet wide.
They're not the property, the homes.
The homes themselves?
And they're not 50 feet wide. But go ahead.
The property, I know there are some thinner ones along South Avenue, but I know most of the properties mm-hmm. along Center Avenue.
So the thin ones on South Avenue, are they close to the structure? Abutting the structure?
On South Avenue, mm-hmm. they look to be at least one house in, and the house on the corner of South and Avenue C looks like it has a larger frontage of about 60 feet.
Well, it's not the frontage, it's the size.
Well, the frontage along South Avenue is what I'm talking about.
There's no frontage of 60 feet on South Avenue.
It's larger than 50 feet, I know that.
And not on the...
Yeah, I can show you right on the...
Sure, I live there.
I understand. So what I'm saying is...
I mow the lawn. It's frontage, not 60 feet.
Our frontage is 50 feet. Lot 10 is wider than 50 feet. That's all I'm saying. I don't have a dimension.
You don't have a dimension on that. 18 feet. So.
That might be lot 8, not lot 10.
I know it is. What I'm saying to you is, that's as wide as my house. What's the average, in a house that size, what do you think the average, or what would you say the average roof size would be? I guess. It's just you do this if you're an expert.
I'm not an architect, so I don't know room sizes the way that I know property.
Yes. How about 10, 12 feet?
We can't just make up numbers. We can't just make up numbers. We have to, is there something?
I guess where I'm going is the size of this structure is about the size of the home or half of the home. That's all I'm saying. I don't know that that's being presented.
Proposed deck that we show on the plan is 8 feet wide by 18 feet three.
18 feet, so as wide as those homes and about the size of the rooms. That's all. Thank you.
Still nothing on Zoom?
We have no attendees on Zoom.
We're in the question period now. Did you have a question, sir?
Yes, I do.
Come forward.
My name is Kevin Byrne. I live at 38 South Avenue. I have a problem with the stairway to go up the side of the building because my driveway is right there. It's only 4 or 5 inches away. Ice, whatever, small fence in front. That's about it. Autistic child, I'm afraid it's going to run up those stairs there. Excuse me, not a child, 4 years old. He comes home 2 or 3 times a month. I'm afraid you're going up the stairs. I just think it's a real bad place to put it. Talk to liability insurance companies. Set up a good problem for my house. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Have we any other questions from the public? And just to be clear, we have nothing on Zoom. Would you like to take 10 minutes long enough?
5 minutes should be enough.
Okay, so we'll adjourn 5 minutes. We'll return here at, let's call it like, yeah, 8:25, 8:26, around there. Yep.
Thank you, Chairman. Yep.
We're going to call the meeting back to order, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yep. Sorry for going over on
not
our
at all,
time.
Not at all, not at all.
So I've discussed, we've discussed the modification to the plan and with my client, and we believe that providing a staircase along the south side would be a really good option. While we were out there discussing it, we also talked about including some form of privacy screening along the stairway and on top of the deck as well. So it would increase, along with the vegetation and the landscape buffering, some privacy, and then hopefully alleviate concerns with regards to individuals falling off of the stairs. And then we were also going to take a look at installing some form of gate to the stair to also protect individuals who are not supposed to be going onto the site from entering onto the site.
So do you think it would be prudent at this time to recess and come back maybe in August with an updated plan, just something that's a little bit tightened up?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
We wouldn't mind hearing the board's comments to what we are proposing now. I know without seeing it, it's hard to do, but
yeah,
it would definitely help us with providing some kind of modification.
I understand that, but at the same time, I don't want to provide something that would be considered guidance and then have you come back and not get the result that you were looking for. Do you know what I mean? Because that's I can't say, yeah, that's exactly what we were all looking for. So, you know, and I understand the position you're in. I understand that the position that that the applicant is in, but at the same time, we're just not able to provide that type of guidance.
Sure.
So, you know, you've heard the questions from the board, the questions from the public, and then, you know, hopefully this will also give you the opportunity to speak with some neighbors who have voiced concerns. And then, you know, you already have that original plan. So if you can just tighten up that plan, you come forward, you know, hopefully it will not, you know, we won't have to start from the beginning. We have an understanding of, you know, where we're at and where we're leaving off, and we can take it from there.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, it does.
Mr. Chairman, you have a raised hand.
Yes. Mr. Dockery.
Mr. Chairman, Brian Dockery, United States Center Avenue. Before we adjourn this application, may I submit an exhibit that I was planning to include as part of my comment? This is the existing condition from the center of our backyard. We're at 97 Center Avenue, so we're right next door. And so I have enough copies for the board, and I'd like to submit those if I may.
Just a minute.
Sure, if you want. It'll help the applicant.
I think so. So why don't we do this, Mr. Dockery, and everybody in the public here, and hopefully, Mr. Alfredo, you agree with me that this will be of benefit to yourself and the applicant. Why don't we, if you have a comment that goes along with that, Mr. Dockery, why don't you make the full comment? We'll add that into the record, and anybody else that has a comment. If you're waiting, if you're withholding a comment, waiting for the comment period, we'll have we'll try and keep it as brief as possible, but as thorough as possible, so that the applicant and their professionals have a good idea of what they have to work with. Mr. Dockery.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your time.
Yes, let me swear you in. Do you just swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding to be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do. So I rise today not as a member of this planning board, though I am one. I'm here as a member of the public and a neighbor. I would like to read, if I may, a letter written by my wife, Erin, about this application. Erin, due to youth sports, which is half of my life at the moment, the children have activities and she could not be here this evening. So this is her letter. Dated June 5, 2025. Dear members of the planning board, my name is Aaron Dockery, 97 Center Avenue, Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, and I'm writing in regard to the application submitted by Ms. Yvonne Moody 99 Center Avenue, rear apartment. During our home search in Atlantic Highlands in 2012, we toured what would soon to become our forever home at 97 Center Avenue. Brian and I were standing in the backyard next to the existing swing set, and I looked at him and said something to the effect of, I guess we're buying a home. Because we both knew in that moment that this place, this town, this house, this yard, was the place we wanted to live and raise our children. Over the past 12 plus years, we and our children have enjoyed our home and yard, and even expanded our second floor in 2018 via this exact same planning board process. So I know a planning board application is not a task entered into lightly or without time or effort. My family has reviewed the plans submitted by Ms. Yvonne Moody in relation to the rear apartment above the garage, located directly next door to us at 99 Center Avenue. We were graciously welcomed into Yvonne's apartment to discuss the plans with her back in December 2024, when we first learned of the project. So what I say tonight has been disclosed with the applicant many months ago, prior to tonight, and this letter was shared with her in June 2025 as well. The bottom line is, we are not in favor of this application, specifically the size and location of the proposed raised deck. For those unfamiliar with our properties, and as you can see on the survey, the applicant's main ingress-egress apartment door is on the second story in the rear of the garage structure at 99 Center Avenue. This second story door directly overlooks our family's backyard and is only approximately 15 feet from our backyard side fence. As it is, when anyone enters or exits the second story apartment, they have full view of our entire backyard from the landing until they either enter the apartment or descend the stairs to the walkway below. As you know, the application before you includes a 20-foot long by 8-foot wide second-story deck in the rear of the apartment, which would result in anyone standing on that deck having a bird's-eye view over the entirety of our family's backyard. According to the survey, the closest point while standing on that proposed second-story staircase deck would only be 5 feet 2 inches from our property line, further reducing the existing nonconformity where a 20-foot rear setback is required. To us, this feels like an invasion of our privacy in our own backyard, as not only would the spiral staircase and deck be 5 feet from our property line, but it would be a second-story deck with a stage-like view down our yard and surrounding yards. In addition, I believe that any conversation, gathering, or music on a raised deck would also contribute to higher noise levels in our yard and surrounding yards. Additionally, our second-floor master bedroom windows are essentially at the same height as the proposed deck, which raises concerns about noise levels from the proposed deck into our home. As homeowners who plan to stay in this home and hopefully pass it down to our children, we need to consider the permanence of this proposed structure in perpetuity. We see the deck as a detriment, both to our family's privacy, a detriment to the noise level in our home and yard, as well as a detriment to our home's value in the long term. Yvonne has planted some shrubbery along the fence line and mentioned she wants to install potted plants and shrubs on the proposed deck to shield the view between our deck and our yard. But we don't see this as a permanent solution to the ultimate privacy and noise concerns. There is also no guarantee that Ms. Moody will be the continued occupant of the apartment, as there have now been 4 different tenants in the 12 years we've been residents. So we therefore need to concern ourselves with all possible future tenant uses of the proposed raised deck. And as you know, Yvonne's application requires a D variance in both variances, and a D variance can only be granted if there are special reasons for the request, and if the site is particularly suited to accommodate the proposed use. Given that the proposed 160 square foot elevated deck with spiral staircase would further increase existing nonconformities, intrude on neighbors' privacy, and possibly reduce the value of surrounding properties, we do not believe granting such a variance is justified. We appreciate our neighbor, her friendship, her contributions to the community and her family, but we cannot support this application for these reasons, and I ask you to please vote no. Thank you for your attention to our concerns, Aaron Duffy. So these words are Aaron's. I agree with them 100%. And I would also, as I mentioned, like to submit this photograph of the existing condition of the back of the home. We see from the center of our yard and see very clearly the size of the current deck and how much larger this proposed deck would be.
Mr. Daugherty, can you advise when the photograph was taken and by whom?
This photograph was taken by me at 7:05 this morning, and so hence the gray skies, but I took it myself.
It accurately represents what was there when you took the photograph?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Daugherty. Do you have any other comments from the public? Mr. Fisher?
Hi, Commissioner Zolder, Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. As a volunteer responder for 42 years locally in Middletown, as a Leonardo First Aid Squad member for 5 years, a long time ago, and an industrial responder for 12 years, the decision to not go with the spiral staircase is a good one. However, the optimal layout for this addition is with the stairs on the north side, not the south side. That's my only comments. Thank you,
Mr. Fisher. Do we have any other? Please come forward, sir.
Mr. Vernon, I don't think you're previously sworn you in. Please raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I agree with that gentleman back there. The optimum side is either the north side or east side. My side, as you can see in the law, is left in the order. It's just so narrow. There's no control at all. We're talking about safety walking down the spiral staircase. I don't know if you can get a stretcher down that back stair or next to that property. There's a fence there now. There's not much room at all. It's falling off. They're going to build fences. They're going to build drivers. If a party, somebody pulls off, they're falling on my door. My fence is going to get bailed. My building is driving into the driveway. My wife's a great driver, but, you know, he's got that. But again, I really like this. For this itself, he's curious. There's stairs there. He's going out. He's not here all the time. He's not a permanent resident. He's a group home free home. That scares him to death. Good people. Look. Didn't expect to be down here tonight, so I apologize for my empire, my shakiness, my craziness. But I will not expect to be down here tonight. I've never been on the spiral staircase. That staircase, I cannot agree with that the one next to my property. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have any other comments in the public? Ms. Walter.
Please be sworn. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do. Michelle Walter, 36 South Avenue. I'll reiterate what Brian said regarding the planning board, and I'm just here as a neighbor and not as a member of the planning board. But one thing I did when I initially got this application was review our ordinances, our setbacks, garages, and all the information from those ordinances. And one thing I noticed was that privacy was sort of through all of those ordinances, the privacy of your neighbors. And we do live, you know, Atlantic Highlands, a lot of people have small lots, relatively small lots. But this area in particular, I have a very small lot. It's only about 35 feet wide. I'm directly behind Brian, and I'm next to Kevin on South Avenue. And so the property does impact my area as well. One of the issues that I have with the deck is the elevation of the deck. I think, actually, one of my issues, first off, is that we're calling this a deck repair. That is not a deck. Whatever's printed out in front of you is merely a landing on the top of a stair. So the stairs go up to a landing, and that is all it is. I have never in 15 years 20 owning the property, but in 15 years of actually residing there, I haven't really seen anybody sitting there other than to maybe sit on the step. It's not even something that there would be a chair or a table. It is a landing. And because of that, it is just an ingress and egress to the garage apartment that is there. Understand the garage apartment has been there forever. It was certainly there when the house was purchased, when I saw it there. There were people living in there. However, what there wasn't was an 8 by 18 foot deck, which then oversees, it's almost as if it oversees everyone in the area. I definitely have an objection to the stairs running down my neighbor's property because I feel that privacy is paramount again, and it seems like we're only considering the privacy of the tenants or the occupants of the apartment, as opposed to the privacy of the neighbors who live there. It just seems odd to me that the stairs would not go on the north side, which would be not infringing on the property of your neighbors, and instead be adjacent to the property that is where your children reside. You chose to live with your children, so walking by them doesn't seem odd. However, walking by a home and a yard and yards, using that as your ingress and egress, changes, makes a big change 120 years after it was built. Again, you know, there was a mention of, you know, 150.2 regarding open space and adequate light, air, and open space. I think, again, I reiterate what Aaron and Brian state in that letter, or Aaron states in the letter that Brian read. And again, the open space is really, we have less open space. It, you know, we do a lot of, I think, I know I do. I try not to go outside and you know, sit around if my neighbors are out there. I try to give them some privacy if they have guests over and they're having dinner in the backyard or a barbecue or anything like that. We have 6-foot-high fences so that we're not sitting on top of each other. At least all of us have 6-foot-high fences in that 4-lot area. This is going to be quite a bit higher than that 6-foot-high fence, and I can't do anything about that. It also is an area of the yard that does get a lot of shade from some other trees, so I can't. I've been trying desperately to grow other things there, but I can't seem to grow anything like that. So I have a few verses of Sharon that are starting to kick up. Again, I do want the board to think about this. If this is granted, which I'm objecting to it being granted, but if it is granted, this is something that goes into perpetuity. It's not just, you know, these are lovely people now, but I don't know who's been occupying that. And there's always been lovely people in the apartment. I feel very lucky that there's been lovely people in that apartment. Mariel is one of them who has been in that apartment. And it has been a very easy, it's been an easy place to live. People have been very quiet. They have always been, they've taken the time to be private because of where they are. You know, we keep talking about this as a deck and that a principal resident should be able to have a deck. But this is a non-conforming use on a garage. We don't have decks in the backyards of, like, in the back of the yard. We have them attached to homes or a small patio that is on the ground that is by your fence. We don't have them hovering above all these areas. I just sort of take a little offense to that there's no real impact. If there was, one of the quotes here was that we're sitting or standing will not really impact. It'll be a better, more useful deck. What that tells me is instead of the landing that is currently there and it's 4x5 where people open the door and go in and out and leave or come, they'll be using the deck. So we're completely changing the use of this. This is no deck repair. This is a change of use. That's why you want an 8x18-foot deck. And that's why they want to take where the stairs are currently running down the back of that. That's a big deck. In fact, when I look at the property card, quite frankly, as somebody, I believe it was my husband who was asking some questions, it's almost half the size of the existing apartment based on the property card that I got online. That's what we're basically saying. We're basically saying that we can open this up, and I don't know what the future brings. Does that mean another door gets to be put out there, and then we have patio rooms going to attack, and we're inviting people over and having barbecues and having, you know, that's what it seems to be. That's the only reason somebody has an 8x18-foot deck, that they change from a 4x4-foot landing to get into a house. So I think that's enough for me at this time. I don't know if there's anything that's like more important. But I do think it would be a substantial detriment to the neighboring homes, and I ask that you do not grant the application, even if it comes back revised.
Thank you, Michelle. Do we have any comments from the public?
As I'm on 36 South Avenue, I just want to concentrate on some of the things that just haven't been said.
Mr. Milner, I don't think I scored you in the report before, so let me do that now. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony that you give in connection with this proceeding is the truth, the truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Go ahead.
Just the size and the scope. Again, 18 feet, it's very long. The proximity to the Dargany's house and to the Burns house and to mine. I mean, I know these Google Earth pictures that we have in front of us, they seem a little fish islands a little bit, but it still doesn't change. You can see the Dargany's bedroom window right here, right there. It's right there. You can see between the two houses. It's right there. Mr. Byrne and I can hand a cup of coffee through the window, through our kitchen windows. We're that close. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But you could also see the impact of the driveway. You're talking 6 inches. That's half a ruler, right? Not very big. I mean, in essence, it's almost like a guard tower over the properties, right? You can picture one of those lifeguard houses in California right in your backyard. I don't know that any of you would care for that. I certainly hope you understand our want to not have that infringement. It's about the privacy. That's what it's about. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Do we have any on Zoom before I forget?
We have two attendees. Nobody has their hands raised.
Okay. So it's time is up. So you heard comments. Some were about the stairs, other, but you have an idea of at least what the public and the neighbors are, what their concerns are.
Right.
In an effort not to even have it look like we're providing any guidance, we are not going to offer any comments. I think that's the sensible approach, unless anybody has a something pressing. So with that, you can take all this information and sit down with your with the applicants and come back and see us in August. Is that?
When is the next date?
August 7th.
August 7th. I can't do that. My son's surgery. Do we have another date? Because I have my son's surgery that day, unfortunately.
So I believe the September meeting is the 5th. Is that correct?
Fourth.
The 4th. I'm sorry. Ooh. September 4th.
Okay. Yes, the 4th works.
Okay. So for anyone in the public who is interested in this application, it is being carried to September 4th, 2025 at 7 o'clock p.m. in this room. You will not receive any further notice of the continuation hearing. And if you're interested in seeing if there are any revised plans submitted, they should be submitted at least 10 days in advance of that date, so you can check with the planning board office to see if there have been any revisions to the plan. They will be available for you to inspect in normal business hours.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the board. We do appreciate your time tonight.
Mr. Stein, are we putting
numbers on this?
I marked it for you. I'll give it to you when you're done.
Okay. What do you mean? Come on, sit.
Before we begin the next application, and I know that Mr. Stein has advised the next applicants, we are going to have we're going to shoot to have a 10:30 cutoff. We go over a little bit or under a little bit, that's totally fine, but we're going to aim for about 10:30. The next application is PB 24-18, Two Hill Property LLC, Two Hill Road, Block 22, Lot 9. How are you?
Chairman, board members, good evening. Mark Aitken on behalf of the applicant. As I'm getting situated here, I would just request that counsel to the board please confirm that my service by certified mail and publication is in order and that the board may retain jurisdiction. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed the service in connection with this application. The service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the case. And after this exhibits, I can tell the board that we received the following exhibits in connection with this application. They include Exhibit A1, an application for a development permit for Two Hill Properties LLC that's dated September 27, 2024. Exhibit A2 is a zoning review from the zoning officer, Michelle Clark, that's dated September 20. 2024. Exhibit A3 is an application for variance of Two Hill Properties LLC. That's dated December 4, 2024. Exhibit A4 is a boundary and topographic survey prepared by Insight Engineering. That's dated October 16, 2023. Exhibit A5 is a steep slope analysis plot plan prepared by Insight Engineering. That's dated September 23, 2024. Revised November 5, 2024. Exhibit A6 is a site plan with architectural elevation and floor plans prepared by Hornagian Architects. That's dated September 16, 2024. Exhibit A7 is a limited geotechnical investigation prepared by Whitestone. That's dated January 8, 2024. Exhibit A8 is a report of Hornagian Architects. That's dated October 11, 2023. Exhibit A9 is review number one from your engineers, CME Associates. That's dated January 27, 2025. Exhibit A10 is a foundation evaluation prepared by Whitestone, dated March 20, 2024. Exhibit A11 is a plot plan prepared by Insight Engineering, dated September 23, 2024, revised November 5, 2024. Exhibit A12 is the steep slope permit application, dated October 29, 2024. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far. That the board has received in connection with the application. Mr. Aitkens is here on behalf of the applicant, and I think he has some changes to the plans that the board has been submitted that he wants to go through with the board and his opening.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Stodd. We appreciate that. By way of brief history, Chairman, board members, this is an existing vacant single-family residence on a triangular-shaped parcel. It was purchased by Jeff Green, my client, in August of 2023. This parcel is bounded on the north by Ocean Boulevard and on the west, essentially, by Hill Road. The applicant proposes to demolish the existing residence, which has a spot footing, hot tub and deck, and which are migrating down the existing slope, as the architect to my left will testify. And, of course, substitute a new, newly designed single-family residence in its place. This property obviously has steep slopes. But significantly, the improvements will address those steep slopes. First of all, they will allow for steep slope access, which today does not exist, and they will permit steep slope stabilization efforts from both the crest and the toe, as our steep slopes engineer will testify. Also, very significantly, existing roof and other surface runoff of the property today is absorbed into the property and may compromise the steep slopes. That's all proposed to be captured, you'll hear that testimony from our civil engineer to my right, that's all proposed, that runoff is all proposed to be captured, and thereby reducing the infiltration that today exists at this site. It will be put to the municipal storm, stormwater system at the bottom of the property. Our civil engineer will further testify as to a plan revision which deletes the proposed pool. So the plans before you show a pool. The applicant, on the basis of conversations with the neighbor, the only neighbor to their east, has decided to remove and delete the pool equipment, anything associated with the pool. And again, our civil engineer will address that. We believe the deletion of the pool, the deletion of the pool equipment and related variances address the key concern of our neighbors. So again, our team is Brian Cornagian to my left, Patrick Ward to my right, and Lawrence Keller is in the audience. He is the steep slopes engineer. And Chairman, I'd ask that they be sworn at this time.
Gentlemen, raise your right hand to be sworn. Do you each either swear or affirm that any testimony given connection with this proceeding be the truth, all the truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
And each of you separately name an address.
Patrick Ward with Insight Engineering, 1955 Route 34, Wall, New Jersey.
Brian Cornagian, Cornagian Architects, 32 Monmouth Street, Floor 3 in Red Bank.
Terrific. I'm going to qualify Mr. Cornagian at this time, if that's all right. Can you review with the board what licenses you possess in the state of New Jersey?
Licensed architect in the state of New Jersey since 2015.
Your license is in good standing?
Yes, it is.
Have you been recognized as an expert with regard to architectural issues previously by other planning and zoning boards in your career?
Yes, I have.
Chairman?
Any objections?
Board members?
Thank you.
He's accepted.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you can review with the board the proposed site and the existing conditions, if we could start with.
Sure. I think what I'll do is put up an exhibit.
Please do.
And these have, I don't think, been introduced yet.
So we're going to, let's mark those, Mr. Scott, as 13. And can you describe them for the board's benefit?
Sure. So it's essentially the same package that was initially submitted with the omission of the pool. In addition to that, through the process of starting to execute some of the preliminary construction documents, the height of the building has increased by about 6 inches. It was previously noted in the initial application as 31.6 feet. It's now 32. Maximum height, from my understanding, in the zone is 35, so we're 3 feet below.
And what's it done on that drawing?
That would be noted on the elevations. The date on the drawing is today's date, 7/15.
It reflects just those changes.
That's correct.
Thank you. 813.
Thank you.
Okay, as that's being passed out to the board, the cover sheet that you've just put up on the board, the 2x3, that's the same as the cover sheet of 813, correct?
That's correct.
Great. Can you orient the board to the Mr. Green's property as well as the street boundaries?
Yes. So it's a wedge-shaped property. Ocean Boulevard is to the north. It's pretty much due north facing. And comes to this wedge at Hill Road, up the incline of Hill Road. You can see in this light red line here, that's essentially the extent of the existing property. A diagram that may better illustrate that.
I'm going to mark this as A14.
You see here, this is on sheet A02. In red is the extent of the existing home.
Actually, it's colorized in the sheet that I have.
I see that. So just A002 of A13.
And in,
please proceed.
And in blue is the extent of the proposed new home. You can see here, which we'll, I'll show you on some of the site photos, this is the extent of the current deck that's has a hot tub on it that's floating out over the slope. This here is the extent of a concrete pad, concrete stair, and elevated concrete pad deck that brings you into the first level of the existing home. And this here is the extent of an existing...
Sir, may I stop you for a second?
Sure.
Mr. Fisher?
As with the last application, the public is once again not being shown the pictures that are being talked about. You all have a nice package up there. We have nothing.
All right.
Turn that picture well taken.
Around or put it up on that next list.
Fair enough.
We don't have a
digital. Is that legible?
Yeah, I mean, if the people on the side of the room can't see, they're
sure.
Yeah, they're very welcome to. There's plenty of room on the side of the room. Yeah.
Okay. A little bit more, because the board has an exhibit.
We do.
We have.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So this diagram is just a simple diagram to very clearly illustrate the extent of the existing building and the extent of what we're proposing in blue.
And again, the existing building is in red, correct?
That's correct.
And the smaller new building is in blue.
That's correct.
Terrific. Thank you.
Moving to what I think I'll do is just give a brief background of the conditions on site. Jeff and Sherry Green approached me, having purchased the property in 2023, initially with the intent of keeping the existing house, renovating, and adding a second story. A little bit of back history on the house that's currently there. You can see on sheet A003, the initial house was built in the 1950s as essentially a raised ranch, Sears kit home. It's technically two stories by way of the severity of the slopes, the south wall fully retaining the slope, and then the north facade, a complete walkout. In 1996, there was an addition put on, which you can see to the west side of the existing home that composes essentially a primary new suite. That's where that deck is floating out over the slope, and there's an existing roof deck above that. In our initial site surveying and survey work of the home, we quickly kind of came to the conclusion that this house was not really salvageable in its current state, especially not with the intention of putting a second floor on. The walls of that 1950s kit house were essentially a 2-inch stressed skin wall construction, 2x4 on the flat, sandwiched with some insulation in between, and wasn't really up to snuff structurally to carry a second floor. But more alarming than that was that the new addition, the 1996 addition primary suite, was significantly out of plumb. That corner on number 4 on A003, you can see a little post that's essentially on the northwest corner, downslope, supporting that carport, is sinking. That's on a sonotube footing that's independent of the rest of the foundation. And as that slope is migrating down due to the slope stability issues, the corner of that building is slowly dropping. If you go in the house now and you put a marble on the floor in there, it just rolls right to that corner. And even more telling is the deck that kind of hangs off, perched over the slope with the hot tub on it. And you can almost tell just by looking at that front elevation, the number 1 on A03, how severely that's pitched. That's really kind of dipping down onto that slope. Again, there are independent sonotube footings in that slope, and they're just moving downhill. The original foundation of the 1950s house is more or less intact because it's all tied together. It's just a continuous spread footing, so it's essentially just braced back on itself. And the underlying soils from a gravity load standpoint are pretty good. So that house is intact, but we quickly realized let's get a geotechnical investigation done here. And as Mr. Keller will elaborate on, the slopes are failing, and we're taking some significant measures to stabilize the slope.
ahead of new construction of the only house on the site. The proposed house is a three-story, some perspective, these are the perspective views of the home on A-04.
Again, from A-13, right?
A-04, yeah.
That's part of A-13.
That's right.
Yep, thank you. And what is the board looking at now?
So these two perspectives are essentially the north facade of the home. I thought these were quite illustrative just to give a descriptive depiction of what we're proposing. It's a three-story house. It was previously a two-story house. So that ground floor in the existing house, which I previously failed to mention, was fully habitable. There was actually an in-slab, in-ground lap pool in the front house right now. There's a bathroom down there, there's a lounge, there's a gas fireplace in the corner. So we're essentially keeping that programming of that ground floor intact. We're going to maintain the location of that existing bathroom. We're going to repurpose if we can. It's a little bit too deep to be determined upon demolition and inspection. That south retaining wall, that current existing foundation wall, and the purpose of that would be to just facilitate construction by maintaining the retaining along that south wall. And if we can repurpose that from a structural standpoint, we will. If not, it either will have to be reinforced on site or we're going to pour these foundation walls. And then there's two additional stories above that. What we're calling the first floor, which is the ground floor, first floor, second floor. First floor is the kind of sleeping quarters. It's a three-bedroom house. There's a primary suite, two bedrooms, four baths, including four and a half baths, including the ground floor bathroom, two en suites and a shared bath on the first floor, and then a powder room on the second floor, which is just a large open living kitchen with a covered exterior deck. We're also proposing a roof deck above the covered deck that's essentially set in to that gabled roof. We have some parapets, relatively substantial parapets around that roof deck at about 1 foot, 1 foot six. And then we're showing 42-inch guardrails up there just because of the height and just provide some additional security. The real driving force behind that roof deck is the constraints on the site. We really don't have much of a yard. We don't have much exterior space. And so by providing a roof deck, it's easy access from that secondary living level. Be able to get outside, sit outside, and enjoy the views. Down at the ground floor level, you can see there a retaining wall that is proposed, and a small side yard patio. That's an adjustment from our initial application where we had a pool, and that retaining wall was very close to the neighbor's property line, and we were showing initially at 1 foot. We've pulled that into a 5 foot side yard setback, just to make sure that we're not disturbing the neighbor's property while we're under construction. And we've further pulled back the front patio to essentially the line of the walkway, which is 4 feet off the face of the ground floor. So with all of that, you can see that I'm going to point back to sheet A-001, which is the site plan on the color sheet. We've made very intentional efforts to pull the building back from the front edge of that slope, from where it was initially. We're knocking off that deck, we're knocking off the concrete stair and elevated pad, and we're even pulling back the line of the patio from what's currently there. There's actually a side yard patio to the east that extends way out on that slope. And there's even a little existing retaining wall that's we're not going to touch, but we're not proposing to utilize for any real soil retention or, to assist us with the proposed patio that we're showing on the east side. So, and the intention with that is just an understanding of working in steep slopes in Atlantic Highland and the severity of these slopes and the stabilization measures that are required here. We just felt that we could really thread the needle of giving Jeff and Sherry as much space as we can get them for a comfortable new home, while also mitigating the potential effects of the slope issues that we're trying to deal with. And as Mr. Ward will testify to, stormwater has been captured in gutters and internal drains on the flat roof deck and is all being carried out towards Hill Road and then inverted and down towards the bottom of the street and kept away from that slope.
Thank you. Chairman, no further questions of Mr. Cornagian at this time.
Thank you very much. We'll open up for questions. Mr. Romeyer, do you want to do this off?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regards to sheet A001 that was submitted this evening, I recognize the civil engineer is going to get into setbacks, overall lot coverage, stormwater. I do see a floor area calculation provided. So the proposed structure, can you just confirm 3,715 square feet wrapped over, and your overall lot size is 15,107. I'm calculating just under 0.25 as is UFAR proposed, where the zone district permits up to 0.35. So your FAR is compliant as proposed. Do you agree with those figures?
I do.
Thank you. Can you talk a little bit about any gutter system, how the roof is proposed to be pitched, how it's going to be collected, just the roof system itself?
Sure. I think I would refer simply to those perspective elevations. Or there is a roof plan on the sheet. A204. It's a simple gabled roof at the main roof, pitching to gutters on either side. The roof deck is a fiberglass roof deck that's pitched on the thermal drain that runs down through the building, tied into two other internal drains, one servicing the covered deck down on the second floor, and another servicing that small flat roof that's visible on sheet A203, second floor plan, just off of the covered deck that essentially is over the primary suite bathroom. All of the internal drains are then kicked out on the south side of the building and tied into the stormwater discharge, as Mr. Ward will elaborate further on.
Meaning the municipal system?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So nothing on site, no wells, no nothing, right?
No.
Okay.
And if this is a civil question, go ahead and defer, but are you proposing any trees to be removed in need for foundation?
May I cover that with Mr. Ward's testimony, Mr. Romeyer?
Yep.
We have an exhibit specifically to address those issues.
Thank you. Foundation itself, one more time, this is all new proposed foundation?
That's correct.
Can you discuss a little bit about the anticipated foundation design and type?
Yep. It's shallow spread footings with quartered place, reinforced concrete foundation walls. They're coming up one full story from the ground floor to support the first floor along the west, south, and partial east facades. Along that north facade, we're actually bringing steel posts straight down to sub-slab footings. The footings themselves are 12 inches deep, 24 inches wide, for the most part, standard footing at the continuous footings.
The proposed structure is single-family use?
Yes.
Yeah. Total, how many kitchens are you going to have?
We have two kitchens. We have one on the second floor, and we have a small galley kitchen on the ground floor. The purpose of that kitchen is really to service entertainment out on that side yard patio and ground floor lounge area where Jeff Lucheri for C hosts. They have a son who's just graduated college. I'm sure he'll be hanging at the house quite a bit with his friends, and so that'll provide some separation and also some entertainment space down on the ground floor.
So ground floor and the floor immediately above are connected by internal stair, and they're not separate living areas, correct?
No.
So it'll operate as a single-family home?
That's correct, yes.
How about air conditioning units? Are they depicted?
Actually, we haven't shown them on the site plan. However, we would be tentatively proposing to show them on the east side of the property. Probably screen them in.
In a conforming location?
Yes.
AC.
And the side yard setback requirement for an air conditioning unit would be used at 10 feet on that side yard. Am I correct?
I believe so. Okay. I will confirm that.
Assuming that is the case, we have enough room, and we would likely be proposing them just along that retaining wall, along that stair, going down to the patio. Yeah. Either there, we'd like to keep them off the front of the building. So ideally, we'd find a location in that easterly side yard that's conforming.
So the stipulation is to fully conform with the ordinance as to HVAC units.
Same for generators?
Yes.
Is there a generator proposed at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay. We could defer this if it's appropriate, but there was a lot of geotechnical calculation and report submitted in support of the initial proposal, which included pool and the building. Is it the same slope improvement program being proposed in order to support the house itself with the removal of the pool?
I wanted to address it preliminarily, but I'd like to defer to Mr. Keller, who's our geotechnical expert. Okay. Yeah, but you could answer in general from your knowledge.
Sure, to the best of my knowledge, that report that was initially submitted was actually prepared prior to the addition of the pool. So it is now back to kind of square one, exactly where we are.
Thank you.
And total number of bedrooms?
Three bedrooms.
Three. Mr. Chairman, I think that's all for right now.
Board members, any questions for the architect?
It says on your A204 solar array, to be determined what kind of energy storage or whatever you have and what the location is.
I think as it currently stands, we are not going to pursue a solar array on the roof. If at some point in the future we were to, we would utilize space from down on the ground floor for any sort of equipment storage or mechanical storage that we might need to service that.
So that would be in lieu of a generator, whichever way you decide to go.
Right.
Tom?
Yeah, I heard you mention to Mr. Romeyer one question in regard to maintaining, or are you maintaining any existing footing and foundation? Because it kind of spells out on your plan that there's to the south wall, the CMU block wall will remain. Is that?
That's been our intention, but we really can't make that determination until we get in there and start demolishing and understand, you know, are they, what the reinforcement is, what are they solid filled all the way through, and kind of inspect the condition of those parent CMU walls. If we can, we're going to.
And then in relation to the depth of footing, I heard you mention 12-inch Will that have enough frost coverage?
I think what you said will have frost coverage.
Okay.
Yeah, the bottom of the footing will be at frost line.
Doug, if maybe you also might want to weigh on this. In the event that you find that the existing foundation is not adequate, how does that change what we're looking at here?
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
There
may be some shoring measures that will have to be considered when we demolish those existing masonry walls to facilitate the construction of the new poured-in-place concrete foundation. Other than that, it really doesn't affect much. We're getting in there and we're more or less demolishing the entire house. We're pulling that existing ground floor slab out, which I really don't perceive that being of any use to us anymore. There's a big hole in it for the pool. I think any contractor that, you know, works on this job would probably tell us we'd prefer to just demo all of this, start from a fresh spot, and it'll make life easier for everybody.
Understood. Thank you.
Well, in that regard, for demolition the entire site, I don't know if your engineer wants to speak on behalf of it, but how do you plan to, you know, when you demo, you know, keeping that ground stabilized, you know, not just with silt fence, obviously, for erosion purposes, but, you know, for a potential landslide condition in that area?
I would defer to Mr. Keller on that.
Yes. I'm going to defer to, we have a soils engineer specific to his expertise. With your indulgence, we'll bring him up after Mr. Ward testifies as to the civil engineer, but before Mr. Ward testifies as to the variance with his role as a planner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions to the board for our architect?
What kind of sewer does the... is it city sewer there?
Yes.
Yep.
I have a question. Is there any proposed, because they are in the slopes, is there any proposed landscaping or improvements to, I guess, that frontal slope area? I don't know what its condition is like now necessarily, but after post-construction, what is there any plan to do anything on that slope regarding any sort of retaining walls? I mean,
I'm going to bring up the soils engineer for that.
Okay.
Please. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from the public for our architect? Seeing none? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. The applicant now calls Patrick Ward, licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner. I'm offering him at this time, Mr. Chairman, board members, with regard to his expertise in civil engineering. Mr. Ward, I'm going to ask you a few questions to qualify you to possess any licenses from the state of New Jersey.
Yes, professional engineering and professional planning.
How long have you been so licensed?
Professional engineering, 12 years, and professional planning, 11 years.
And have you given testimony before planning and zoning boards during the course of those respective years?
I have. Throughout the state, I've had the pleasure of being in front of this board for some fun ones in the past as well, in both capacities.
Wonderful to hear. Thank you, Mr. Ward, Chairman. Offer Mr. Ward for his...
We'll welcome him back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right.
It's not as fun. No.
Welcome back to the fun, Mr. Ward.
Okay.
Terrific.
What I'll start with is one of my exhibits, since Mr. Bernadian went through the existing conditions at length. I don't want to reiterate that. So
we're at 14.
This will be A14. This is a rendering of a site plan. I'm going to face that to the public. And I have...
Can you read it for the record?
Yep.
What's it labeled?
Two Hill Road, proposed site layout rendering, and the date is July 14th.
A14.
I have enough, yeah.
Yes.
I think I have 15 in there.
Yes. And this was prepared by your office at your direction, Mr. Ward?
Yes.
Okay.
So what this exhibit shows is...
Excuse me, Mr. Ward, just for a moment. If somebody could... Thank you very much, Mr. Fisher. Somebody's trying to get in. Proceed, please.
So what this exhibit shows is what is proposed, and I do have an exhibit showing existing conditions that's going to look awfully similar, very minor discrepancies, and I'll introduce that in a moment regarding the trees. The applicant's seeking to demolish the structure and much of the called accessory site improvements around the structure and replace it with a three-story dwelling in a very similar footprint, albeit reduced. So it was mentioned at the onset that we're no longer proposing the pool. This site rendering does reflect what the current proposal is of just the patio. So it gives the board an idea of where it is. If you compare apples to oranges with the original submission, and Ms. Pranagian did mention this, the limits of the patio on the north end are pulled back a few feet from the top of slope. And that was done for a good reason to stay away from that slope. The property is served by public utilities today and will continue to be. If upgraded utility connections are required, they'll be made in Hill Road, as shown on our plans. The existing driveway footprint, you can see on our plan, will remain as is, just resurfaced. The driveway length and width provide ample parking, which is compliant with the residential site improvement standards of the state of New Jersey, in excess of three spaces. I know there was a mention in Mr. Romeyer's letter about offices potentially in the future maybe being converted to bedrooms. There's still an abundance of parking. If that were the case, well in excess of three, but that's not the expectation by the applicant. In terms of stormwater management, today the roof runoff is not managed properly and sent to a called stable receiving area. So what we're doing is collecting all the roof runoff, as mentioned by Ms. Pranagian, and all of the patio runoff, especially the patio that is the adjustment tonight. It'll be piped and connected directly into an existing municipal inlet at the base of the driveway, which is in Hill Road. In the event that the system fails, whether by clog or what have you, the site is designed to overflow in that same direction. So in the event that, say, the patio drain fails, the overflow will migrate westward along the walkway on the north end of the property, which has a curb on it, and the curb's there for drainage. And everything will discharge ultimately at the same location, Hill Road. Again, the goal is to be stable and keep all runoff away from the slope area.
Is it your testimony that's a significant improvement from a drainage standpoint from the conditions that exist at this site today?
Yes, yes. We want to keep all water away from the slope, and at this point, that's not the case. So, yes, definitely an improvement. One thing I also noted in Mr. Romeyer's letter, we are seeking relief, and I believe it's a waiver from the borough's stormwater management requirements for minor development. Mr. Chairman asked if we were proposing any dry wells or the like. Normally, on a nice flat piece of property, we absolutely would. In this case, we're managing the runoff by taking it off-site away from the slope areas, which comprise most of the site except the developed footprint.
Is it your opinion as a civil engineer that that's the most appropriate management for the for the runoff at the given the current conditions of the property?
Yes, as a general engineering rule of thumb, that's most appropriate. It's least impactful to the slope and to our neighbors.
So again, not to have a dry well.
Correct. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. And then the grading design is such that we do have just the one neighbor to our east, but there is no runoff impact that way. Everything, in fact, their property might may drain towards us. We're continuing existing drainage patterns. No additional runoff is going towards their property. I do have another exhibit. This would be
A15.
A15, and I think this is something I'll bring up again in planning testimony, but I just want to identify for the public and the board what our development footprint is, you know, existing and proposed. And this is a bit of a, this shows, when it gets in front of you, it shows two,
sorry, let me just ask you a little couple questions, but just so I can qualify that exhibit. So
sure.
A15 is a document that's identified as development footprint exhibit, correct?
Correct.
And what's the date of that?
July 14th. 2024.
Prepared by your office at your direction?
Yes, prepared by our office at my direction.
Okay. A15, please proceed.
So what this shows, this is a recent aerial. The imagery is from March 9th, 2025, so this year. This shows two lines. One's green, one's red, kind of piggyback off Mr. Pranagian's.
Let me guess. Red is old and bad, and green is new and good.
Well, some Jedi mind tricks. Yes. Okay. Red is the existing development footprint, and green is what our ultimate development footprint is, what we're proposing.
Okay.
When I say development footprint, it's not just hardscape. On a property like this where you have a natural slope, it's what has been altered already, whether it could be green space, could be a small garden off in the back, which is where the patio is. There's an existing garden area there today. We're showing to the board where we're pulling in that development footprint. And I think most notably, And the purpose of this is to show that we're trying to take it away from the slope. We're working within the confines of what's already disturbed on property, historically disturbed, I'll say. So I think this is important and will be brought up again when I get to planning testimony, but I did want the board to see that. One more exhibit, and then I'll conclude my engineering testimony, is regarding trees, the tree removal. So our goal here, and Mr. Akins,
I'm not saying A16,
and this is an existing conditions rendering.
And let me just qualify yep. that. So the document we've identified is A16, entitled Existing Conditions Rendering. That's a document dated today, July 15th, that's what?
It's July 14th,
July
yep.
14th.
So it's actually the existing surveyed conditions rendered. And what you can see when you compare it to the proposed conditions rendering, you'll see that it almost, quick glance, they look very, very similar. But the purpose of this is to show where we potentially may have some tree removal. And that the goal is not to remove any vegetation.
I'm going to ask you for a moment to the big board.
Yep.
Just turn it around so the board can see it. You'll say it to them, and then please say it to the audience as well so everybody understands
sure.
what's being proposed. Okay.
And what I'll do is I'll start on
referring
the...
Referring now to A16.
This is A16. I'll yep. start on the east side, which is paved.
Which right. is the right, right?
Right.
North is to the top.
Correct.
Okay.
So on the east side of the home, there's an existing tree kind of centered on the east side of the home. That's where the retaining wall and patio will be proposed. We're proposing to remove that tree. And then at the northeast corner, there are two trees within the patio area and little tree wells. Those will be impacted by the removal of existing improvements. We feel that those three trees will not make it. I don't want to, you know, even insist that maybe they will try to save. I don't think they'll survive in this case.
Because of the impact to the root structure?
Because of the impact, yeah. What we don't want to have happen is even roots getting clipped, and in 2 or 3 or 4 years, the trees die out anyway. So there are two more trees shown on here on the north side. These are a little different circumstance.
This is as we move to the west.
Yes, as you move west. We feel that we want to try to save these trees. However, particularly on the immediate north side, this tree is right adjacent to the existing patio. That patio is being removed. It's going to be replaced with green space, presumably some other plantings as well. But the removal of the existing improvements may impact where those roots have grown. The goal is to try to save that tree, but at an abundance of caution, we're identifying that as to be removed. Likewise, for the tree at the northwest corner, which is right along the driveway, it's a multi-stem tree. Similar thing here, we don't know the extent of the root system in that. The driveway is being resurfaced, not completely reconstructed, so we don't think the driveway is going to cause the impact. But when the dwelling corner there is rebuilt, well, existing removed, and then the new footing excavated and poured, again, we don't know yet if the root system of that tree will be impacted. If it is impacted, that would be a longer-term problem that could seek up on the applicant. So, again, these two trees off to the west of this on this page, we do want to try to save, but out of abundance of caution, we're showing that they may be impacted by the construction, notably the removal of existing improvements that are awful close to the top of the slope.
I'm going to pause here and just ask you to turn that around
yep.
and review that with the audience as well, just so they can understand
yep.
the references that you've just made to the trees and the boards.
So page right is east. So there's a tree here on the east side of the home. That's where a retaining wall and a patio is proposed. That tree is to be removed. There are two trees at the northeast corner of the home. Those are within tree wells and existing hardscape. Those will be removed with the removal of that hardscape. And then these two trees on the west side, these are the ones we would like to try to save, but due to close proximity, I'll focus on this one on the north side. There's an existing paper patio. That's being removed. The limits of hardscape are being pulled back. So as a result of doing that, we're not sure if the root system of that tree will be compromised, leading to a slow death of the tree. So we're going to try to save it if we're not compromising the roots, but we're at an abundance of caution, we're saying that is to be removed. Same with this one at the northwest corner, more notably with the new building foundation that's going to be proposed in that corner.
We don't know yet, until we dig, the extent of potential root compromise. So in total, it's five trees. The remainder of the property has a variety of vegetation. There's trees also throughout. Those are not being impacted. We're not obviously going beyond the limited disturbance we indicate.
Mr. Ward, would you want to comment, or maybe you want to wait until we hear from the geotech, what the impact on the surrounding soils around those trees, if they're removed, what will that impact be?
I can defer that to Mr. Keller in terms of what the stability would be, you know, considering the whole slope.
Yep.
Thank you.
I think that is it, Mr. Akins. Unless the board has any other engineering questions.
Where is your limit of disturbance shown?
It's in our plan set.
The plot plan?
Yes. We have a soil erosion sheet. It's sheet 5 of 7. And that will be adjusted now. The submitted plot plan set doesn't show the patio, it shows the pool. So the limit of disturbance is being reduced by about 250 square feet as a result of removing the pool, which is obviously moving in the right direction. So we have to seek approval from Freehold Soil, and we'll update that limit of disturbance. But generally, that's reasonably accurate for the board's consideration.
Again, so the record's clear. So there's a reduction in the limit of disturbance based upon the applicant not proceeding with the pool.
Correct.
And proceeding with a more limited patio area.
Correct.
Before we hand it over to Doug, the driveway as it exists now and will continue to be, it's impervious, is that correct?
Correct.
All right.
And it's proposed to be...
Remain that way.
Remain that way and be resurfaced.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah, with an impermeable surface, yes.
Mr. Romer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recognize the revised request and revised proposal. Significantly pulls proposed improvements back from the top of slope, as well as integrates a good stormwater management design to collect and convey that water and not allow it to go over the slope. A lot of the items in the CME January 27, 2025 report have been specifically addressed. I really just want to focus on impacts of the proposed change to the bulk standards. So are you able to go through numerically at this point?
We have some adjustments for those, Mr. Romeyer, as a result of the reduction.
Yeah, I have, sir. I have updated numbers. I was going to do that. If you want me to do it now before I... exit stage left for a moment?
Yeah, I'd like to just understand that those impacts. The building itself, the structure itself, has not changed from what was initially submitted. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So our principal front yard, rear yard setbacks remain?
Correct.
As indicated on page 2 of the CME report?
Correct.
We talked about the usable FAR is complying. The accessory setbacks for the pool equipment, obviously, those two variances have been eliminated.
Correct.
At this point?
They're eliminated.
How about lot coverage by building and lot coverage by max impervious coverage for the entire lot? Do you have adjustments for those?
Yes. So this is just based on the R2 zoning. Maximum building coverage is 14.96, where 15% is required, a maximum. And then the maximum impervious coverage is 29.7%, where 40% is the maximum. So okay. That went down.
That went down.
30%.
Thank you.
Yep.
With regards to...
So we're now, just this, I think this is important for board's consideration. So we're 40% of a lot can be developed with impervious coverage. And we were at 32 and change. We're now below 30.
Correct.
At 29.7.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The pool and patio previously triggered variance necessity. Obviously, the pool setback is not applicable anymore. And just can you confirm for us the patio itself? It will now meet the 5-foot setback, rear yard setback requirement?
It will, yes.
That's the patio and the wall?
Yes, the measurement is to the back of the wall structure.
Thank you.
And just to note for the record, I mean, based on my math, by just eliminating the pool and its components, we've eliminated, I want to say from the proposal, we've eliminated 5 variances from the proposal. Because it's, you know, there's a bunch of things that were regulated, like the equipment setback to the building, setback to the property line, the pool equipment, and then the actual yard location, I count 5.
In the front yard, right?
Yes.
Which is now, they're all eliminated.
All off the table, correct. And then for the steep slope, Mr. Romeyer, I do have updated numbers for that, because I know those, we're still in a relief situation there. The maximum lot coverage is 4,485 square feet, and the impervious area is 4,485 square feet. Both of those numbers are about 400 square feet better than the initial proposal.
Which was 4,903.84, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a reduction.
Right, and then I discussed the disturbance about it improving 200 square feet, but the proposed final disturbance is 7,550 square feet.
Which is actually a reduction of 205 square feet.
205, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're in the steep slope component of this, let's go back to any proposed controls during construction.
I'm going to defer again with your indulgence to Mr. Keller.
Okay.
On the control.
Yeah, it's critical because the lot disturbance for being proposed is double
no
what's allowed.
About that,
okay.
Right.
A lot of the discussion items have been eliminated by removal of the pool. Mr. Ward, any input as to proposed landscaping or improvements on the slope itself? Or are we going to hear from your geotech engineer?
I'll let Mr. Keller describe the physical improvements we're doing to the slope, because I think that's very important for the board to hear. And then the surficial treatments that he could opine on too, but we could also, I can come back and get you on that too. But I want you to hear the bigger lift with the slope improvements, which I think is the most important.
That's all for now. Thank you.
No further questions, Chairman, Board members, and Mr. Ward at this time. Reserve Mr. Ward for planning expert testimony.
We're going to have support questions if that's okay.
Sure.
Before Mr. Ward.
Yes, of course.
Who's this? Questions for Board? Tom?
Yeah, with regard to the patio, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's showing its elevation at 162 proposed, correct?
No, that's the top. That's
top of the wall.
The highest point of the wall.
Okay.
The patio elevation will be about 154, 155.
So the wall will be higher than the patio.
That wall will be higher at the south end, and then the wall is going to follow the slope down. So it's not going to be this monster.
I thought it was a raised patio.
No. That's the downside.
All right.
When considering from the neighbor's view.
Thank you.
Do you have any like information on the trees that are going to be removed, like the sizes of them or anything like that?
We don't, and we recognize that. That was noted in Mr. Romeyer's letter. We will, we would offer to provide that as a condition of approval. I know species diameter, condition, health, we can provide that information. We just didn't have the opportunity to have a tree expert come in.
And you're aware there's a strict shade tree ordinance here in the borough of Atlantic Highlands?
Yeah, yep, and the applicant as well. We informed him that the tree removal permit is required no matter what. So,
yeah, that's important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Any other questions to the board for Mr. Ward?
This might be addressed by your soils person, but is there any landscape in proposed for this design? Or just the
I don't want to speak for Jeff. I assume typical foundation and yard plantings will be proposed. Everything's stable and beautiful. I don't want to speak to exactly what's proposed. There's nothing on the plan that is up for board review at this point, but I expect with the investment of the home, suitable and appropriate landscaping will be installed. I just don't have specifics.
Anyone else before we take it to the public? Questions for Mr. Ward from the public? Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, 91/3. I have just a simple question. Mr. Ward mentioned that he had to update freehold soil. What is freehold soil?
Mr. Fisher, not quite update. Freehold soil is a county-level agency that regulates soil disturbance as well. So once a project exceeds 5,000 square feet of soil disturbance, we need their permit via application. So as typical of any variance application, if we trigger that disturbance, we have to seek their approval. So we'll do that.
No problem. And sir, that typically becomes a condition of any approval so that the applicant can't proceed unless it obtains that specific freehold soil county approval.
All permits.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Separate permits. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody on Zoom with a hand raised?
One participant, no hands raised.
Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ward, thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. You're good.
Thank you.
If we're ready, Chairman, applicant now calls Lawrence Keller. I don't think he's been sworn yet.
Sir, raise your right hand if you swear to this word from the testimony to give a connection to this proceeding to the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth.
I do.
And name and address for the record.
It's Lawrence Keller, 30 Independence Boulevard, Bloom, New Jersey. Good evening, Mr. Keller. Do you possess any licenses from the state of New Jersey?
I do a professional engineering license in good standing.
How long have you been so licensed?
At least 20 years.
And have you given testimony before planning and zoning boards previously?
This board and other boards in New Jersey.
Have you been specifically recognized as an expert with regard to steep slopes and related steep slopes issues?
Yes.
Terrific. Chairman, board members, I offer Mr. Keller for his expertise.
Any objections?
Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Mr. Keller, you're the star of the show. Let's review the existing conditions at the site, what's proposed, and do our very best to answer the questions that have been raised by the board members, which I've been taking some notes on, and which you've obviously heard yourself.
Yeah. Well, from my perspective, it's an existing vegetated slope with a level area where the existing house is. And what I look at it is, the house doesn't matter to me. If it's a house, if it's a tree, it's a load at the top of the slope that causes driving forces. So what we did from looking at that slope and what it is, we took the geometry of the slope that's on the survey, and we conducted studies, limit equilibrium studies, to understand what the driving forces are and resisting forces on the existing slope. And through that analysis, what we found was the existing slope is marginally stable in an analysis perspective. There are signs that we've heard some testimony earlier of some movement of the slope that's exhibited itself in the structure. There were some signs of some superficial erosion, which is somewhat of a separate issue than the limit equilibrium analysis. That's more of the deeper seated failures. So what we had to do was to look at, well, what would it take to have a stable slope? And what is a stable slope? If you haven't heard that before, it's generally a slope, a factor of safety of above 1.5. Well, in other words, the resisting forces have to be 150% of the driving forces. And we looked at a couple of different scenarios. Ultimately, what we found was that there needed to be some added resistance to the slope to get to an adequate factor of safety, and that added resistance is in the form of soil nails, which would be required in this slope to produce a factor of safety, and what we found was a factor of safety of 1.7 or so, a little bit better than that, and with a couple of rows of soil nails. That's specifically what it was, and this is in our report as well. It was two rows of 12 soil nails spaced 5 feet apart. They're sloped at about 35 degrees, and they're about 20 feet long. into the midsection of the slope. So from a limit equilibrium analysis, that's how you would address some of these deep-seated failures. From an erosion standpoint, and that can be a large contributor, as I'm sure you're aware, to some of these slope failures. What we had recommended, and you've heard testimony earlier today, is that we don't infiltrate groundwater into the subsurface. I like to say 90% of geotech is half water.
Right. That sounds like something Yogi would say.
Right, exactly. So from that standpoint, we've taken mitigation measures to make sure that we're not introducing any additional water. Matter of fact, we're taking it away from what's there now. So we're taking a marginally stabilized condition and proposing something that will certainly be a betterment. I know I went a little bit beyond the existing slope condition, but I don't know if there's anything further that you want me to testify to at this point, too.
Can you testify as to any intention to landscape the slope once the rehabilitative and improvement measures in the form of the soil nails are installed?
Yeah, well, my recommendation is to maintain vegetation on that slope, period.
Is it your opinion that it's adequate or that it perhaps needs to be supplemented?
I would say the only place that you would look to supplement it is where there's any type of removal. We talked about some of the trees earlier. Those would certainly have to be supplemented. I do think that actually removing, since those trees are sitting at the top of the slope, it may seem a little counterintuitive to you from an erosion standpoint, but there's a lot of extra weight at the top of the slope, and those are actually driving forces. So removing those trees are actually somewhat of a benefit, just because of where they're positioned, as long as you maintain the vegetation at the location where they were removed.
Any objection if the board engineer requires a supplemental landscaping plan, not so much ornamental, but specifically as to existing and any supplemental landscaping that might be needed, between the toe and the top of the slope?
I have no objection on my end, sir.
You'd stipulate to providing that or working with Insight Engineering to provide that to the satisfaction of the board engineer if he requires that?
Certainly.
Okay. How about the question that was asked with regards to controls that will be exhibited during the construction phase? That's obviously another concern of the board members.
Well, I think it's the same thing from a sediment and erosion control plan, which that would be, I would expect Mr. Ward to put that together. We would obviously want to keep water away from the slope to the extent practical.
Any objection previewing what Mr. Ward is going to prepare with regards to construction needs, methods, and techniques concerning these controls with the board engineer prior to the time it's even submitted to freehold soil?
No objection.
No objection. Okay. So we're trying to be as proactive, as preemptive, and for want of a better term, as prophylactic as possible.
Certainly.
Okay. Chairman, board members, I have no further questions, Mr. Keller, at this time.
I do have something before I turn it over to Doug. On page 3 of the Wet Zones exhibit.
Report?
Yeah, I'm sorry. 4.1 under global stability evaluation. I'm just going to read it so everybody hears it and we can just discuss it from there. And before I say anything, I'm not a geotechnical engineer, but I've been doing this for going on a decade now, and I just found that this first sentence a little bit alarming. Based on the aforementioned boundary and topographic survey, there is an existing approximately 20 feet tall slope located directly to the northeast and adjacent to the existing residential building that has experienced instability and signs of stormwater washout erosion. What you just testified to is it's your feeling that the improvements that are going to be made deal specifically with this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, to improve it, absolutely.
Okay. All right, Doug, you want to take it from there?
Yeah, I highlighted the same line, so I appreciate you bringing that up, Chairman. With regards to the soil boring and the hand auger locations that you utilize for your calculation, are they, is it your opinion that they're close enough horizontally to the proposed patio and this new retaining wall?
Yes.
Would the calculation remain accurate?
No, I think it's accurate.
And what was that approximate distance?
I would have to say about 100 feet, but I look at it more from a topographical standpoint, and I'm looking at things on a geologic basis, more so than 75 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet.
100 feet, is it? Okay.
Yeah. It's not going to move the needle that far.
Thank you. You mentioned FOS factor safety of 1.7. With the proposed slope improvements by way of soil mounds?
1.778.
Does that apply to the current proposal? Specifically the home as depicted, the stormwater collection system, the conversion of the pool to patio, and that retaining wall?
It does, because we didn't look at the pool previously.
Okay, so 1.7 would be the final calculation, where 1.5 is industry standard.
Correct.
So you're exceeding it?
Correct.
The proposed soil nails, the two rows, 5 foot spacing, 12 each, I don't know if they're depicted on any exhibit on specifically where they're going to be, but How do they offer protection to the adjoining property, specifically the property that has the proposed retaining wall at a 5 foot side yard offset?
Well, they're depicted, if you look at plate C.1, referring to your report, referring to the January 8th, 2024 report, it's in appendices. Figure three, plate C.1.
It's in the January report?
Yeah, it is. They're not labeled, but it begins on the slope at B2. It's about mid-height of the slope. If you can, I can probably point it out to you.
Can you point it out to Mr. Romar graphically by taking a copy of the exhibit to him? Thank you so much. He puts up on the screen.
Yep. Yes.
Why don't you head over to the screen?
Yep.
Thank you.
So, yeah, these would be the nails here. You see 14.2, N1, L4. And for some reason, we don't have a label. It's not, that's actually the line. But from this point here to point N2L4, those would be the...
So the vertical lines that are depicted, just so I can break it down for the board, vertical lines that are depicted in the yellow kind of lemon wedge shaped, forgive my simplicity here, portion of the exhibit, those would represent the nails.
Correct.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, does the slope improvement system that's proposed offer protection to the adjoining piece, or does it offset any degradation to the slope integrity to the east of the site?
To some extent it could, in that this is the plane that we're looking at is perpendicular to the slope, but in reality these slope failures are 3D, so there's some lateral failure that happens, if you can think of it as a bowl that settles. So there would be some improvement. This analysis doesn't look at that or make that assessment as to what the magnitude of that improvement is. But I would certainly, it's my opinion that there is some improvement from the circular failures.
Right, and what I'm really just trying to understand is one of the exhibits provided today. You could see the proposed retaining wall and patio is pretty close to the dwelling on lot eight, right? So is the nail system, does it, does the nail system address any degradation to slope integrity associated with the retaining wall on the east side of the property?
It would, yes, on the east side of the property in question, it would address improvements in the same plane as perpendicular to the slope, as you're seeing in the exhibit in plate C.1.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yes, of course,
trees?
Yeah.
Do you have any further data on the side trees that might need to be removed on site?
Other than what was, the ones that Mr. Ward pointed out tonight, those are the ones that I'm aware of.
Okay. What you had said about the trees actually having a detrimental effect on the slope, I've heard of that in the past with very large, very shallow rooted trees, but, you know, considering I don't know, the board doesn't know anything about the trees that are being proposed to be removed, I'm just not sure about that. So I guess the one of particular concern, since we were just talking about the east side of the property, is the one on the east side of the property, more or less on the property line on this one diagram that I'm looking at, the insight one.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering your opinion on that, if that tree is to be removed. You know, certainly if the canopy is over the property line, the tree roots are over the property line. So do you have an opinion about that and how it might affect the slope stabilization? Because that's my experience with trees, that their root systems stabilize slopes and help mitigate any stormwater.
Yeah, they do, but from the standpoint of, maybe if we pulled up that plate C.1, but the failure plane that I think you described as the yellow lemon portion of
the lemon slice.
The lemon slice, right? That is about 10 feet below ground. So those roots that are above 10 feet aren't real, they're not really intersecting that failure plane.
Mm.
So they're just adding weight at that point. Now, if, yeah, so I think.
So when they add weight, they add to the driving forces. I heard your testimony earlier, correct?
Right.
Okay. Which then has to be balanced by the resisting force,
right,
to achieve the 1.5 and the higher ratio that you've designed.
Thank you, yes. So if you remove weight, you remove driving force, you would, in theory, improve the factor saving.
So I guess maybe this is a question for Doug. I'm wondering, why is this a thing in the steep slope? You know, why don't we just remove all the trees at the top of the slopes? And I'm tired,
okay.
So I apologize. I'm confused about that a little bit. Like, I do get it. Like, it's volume, it's, all of that. But I don't know.
You have a good point there. This, I believe, this analysis takes that deeper rotation and slope failure into consideration, where what we see often throughout the borough and the area are issues caused by surficial erosion, mm-hmm, and slumping or sliding at the surface level, which we've seen time and time again. When trees are removed off the slope, you lose that stability from the root system and that top layer, mm-hmm, slides down. That's a great question. So I recognize weight and load are taken into consideration for this mathematical exercise, but we have that secondary concern as well, and I think that's something that could be addressed by supplemental plantings, structural, like slopes stabilizing plantings, not landscape, not foundation plantings.
Yeah.
And that's precisely why we had offered to provide a supplemental plan to review that with the board engineer, as well as in anticipation of making the submission of freehold soil per Mr. Ward's testimony. This team certainly recognizes the seriousness of the issue.
And this is also site-specific, so, you know, we could have an applicant next month come in with a project on the slope that's not going to have the lemon wedge. You know what I mean?
All of this analysis is 100% site-specific to this, to Mr. Green's property. That's it.
Also, it costs a lot of money, right? So you can't expect everybody to install this system, right? You might get people that, from affordability standpoint, will be more than happy to leave all the trees, right? Or leave as many trees as possible. I mean, if you can afford to do this sort of stabilization, then, you know, that's fantastic. My only question is, what phase of construction are you putting these in? At what point does the installation of the soil and house go in?
I would say after demolition.
After demolition.
Okay.
Before any sort of footings or anything.
Oh, absolutely. You would want to have this in place before you started building.
Okay.
Just from an accessibility standpoint.
Okay, so you're going to do your soil mound installation after your demolition, and then after your construction, then you'll do your additional restoration with regards to any sort of the stabilizing plans that you talked about, right? So that, I guess, adds its final factor, combination factor, to give it the support that it needs.
That, yeah, exactly.
Do they work? Let's say they weren't to put any vegetation in. Does the effectiveness get reduced or no by the soil?
No, so I think it's, in my opinion, and I agree with what you're saying, is that there's a limit equilibrium analysis, which is what this plate C.1 shows, and then there's superficial sloughing through runoff and controlling water and so forth. So that's an important piece of it as well. They are two separate things.
And so that's one of the reasons why we've done such a heavy emphasis, and I shared it in my opening remarks, on collecting the surface runoff, which today is not collected. Right, today that clearly contributes to the surface conditions, which was exactly noted in paragraph 4.1 of the Chicago's report.
So basically what you're saying is your lemon wedge, all of your vegetation is in that. If it goes, it's just going to take everything with it, regardless of how much vegetation is on it.
Right.
Because it's way deeper than the roots would even reach down through. So
correct.
And stopping the erosion helps on the surface and then creates less problems later.
So we have a two-pronged approach, right?
Right.
Supplement the landscaping at the superficial level, and then nail at the subterranean level.
Yeah. Are you able to just walk us through, for the benefit of the everybody here, the install process for these nails? Is there going to be disturbance? What kind of equipment? Like, how do you actually install these?
Yeah, no, I didn't speak. The team has spoken to a contractor regarding this as well, and my understanding is that they would be installed with a large reach type excavator from the top of the slope. So that would, and the purpose of that would be to limit disturbance to vegetation and anything else that's on the slope.
Would it be kind of like a jet grout type operation when you drive down with high pressure or drive through with high pressure, clear the air,
yeah. And
then create the casing, right, and then drive in your...
Yeah, right now, the way it's just modeled as a load right now.
Okay.
So there's a couple of ways you could do it. One would be like that, where you drill a hole laterally or at a 35-degree angle into the slope. You fill that full of grout.
Mm-hmm.
You place reinforcing steel in there as well. And that's a typical type of soil nail. There's also helical anchors. You can take mm-hmm. helical anchors and screw them in at an angle, and they would, you know, perform the same function.
Chairman, I'd like to recall briefly, with your indulgence, the architect who has handed me an email from a contractor with regard to the installation of these soil nails. If you could read this for the record, I'm going to mark this as A17. Could you identify A17 for the record, please, Mr. Parnadian, on recall?
Yes, this is an email received on Tuesday, April 29th, 2025, from David McGuire. He's a contractor with Access Limited, and they do, I think, predominantly larger scale slope stabilizations for large scale infrastructure projects and such. But he's who we were consulting with early on, just for some input on this project.
And what does he say?
He says, with the plan being to demolish the existing residence prior to the installation of the slope stabilization system, ALC, which is Access Limited Construction, can install the entire system from above the slope on the lot in question. We will use a combination of excavator mount drill, wagon drill, specialty trained ropes access technicians and/or man lifts and forklifts. The system that we are thinking will work best for you is a pinned mesh system installed with hollow bar soil nails. I have attached a picture, which we don't have, of something similar that we are currently installing just north of Philadelphia. Once installed, this system vegetates very well and disappears within a few months. It can be planted with an ivy or can be left naturally to vegetate.
And the estimated cost that the Greens will invest in this system is?
Well, I think this is a magnitude high just by nature of
just contract. Just as set forth in this email.
Ballpark pricing will likely be on the order of $200K to $250K. I can rework this estimate to bring it down for you.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. Thank you.
Curtis, like, yes, Dan.
Yeah. All right, so I really want to set the expectation for the public, the neighbors, this board. Are you clearing the area to install these nails? Are we going to see a cleared area on the slope?
No,
right?
No.
Okay.
This is what's typically installed, like, on the side of highways, on rock walls, right? Like, right. The mesh system and the soil nails, it's the same thing.
Correct. I mean, the soil nails, absolutely.
When you did your analysis and site inspection up there, did you notice any historical slumping or any recent slumping on that property or the adjacent one?
Yeah, we noted some of the distress in the building that you heard about earlier. We also there were some areas of there was some superficial erosion that was taking place as well.
Michelle, do you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. It's just when you evaluate this, in your evaluation, do you, you know, what is the impact to Lot 8 that's next door in either boring these nails or is there any impact to this big house that's right next door?
As far as vibrations or...
As far as whatever occurs with this, I'm assuming when the soil is, when these are driven into the soil, does it do it? I mean, you know, I don't know. God doesn't really care too much about these lines that we draw that say, this is your property, this is my property. I'm assuming there's similar problems or similar impact on the adjacent property. Am I wrong?
I'm just not clear what you mean by impact.
So it's not any pile impact. Driving effect.
Yeah, no, they're drilled in place. So they're not driven in place.
Okay, so I don't know anything about this. I don't have any engineering background. Yeah. But if I'm a neighbor, yeah. I don't know the difference between drill. If somebody's drilling next to me, that's not an everyday occurrence. So I'm just wondering, is there any impact whatsoever? Maybe negative or positive.
I think it would be the same level of impact as any other construction that takes place in the borough. I mean, there would be construction.
Just regular construction. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
In your opinion, with your analysis, if you had a crystal ball, because you see this failing at some point, or do you have no way of telling?
Failing without any intervention in what the applicant's proposing.
If nothing was done, this was here for 20 more years.
Yes, if. That's a big if.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a huge, that's a big factor. Obviously, something has to be done, regardless of. Yeah.
Michelle, I'm going to try and pick up where you left off, and if I'm not hitting the mark, just let me know. Was the point that you were trying to make is, you know, and what will the net effect be on the adjacent properties? Is that it? Like
correct. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty. I don't know. I'm just thinking. You're drilling something into a ground. I just didn't know if that's going to have any type of impact on the ground. That's just maybe 30 feet wet.
Well,
I don't believe it's going to have any impact on the adjacent properties. The diameter of these may be 4 or 6 inches in diameter.
So, I mean, I drove it. It's drilled in the ground really slow, and there's no pounding, there's no pushing, there's no pulling dirt. You can even go right through the vegetation that's already there. You don't need to remove anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's no different than building a foundation?
It's probably less intrusive than building a foundation.
Right. Okay. And that's what I was trying to find out for the people next door who may not have $250,000 to suddenly have to do this on their property if something were so detrimental. That's what I'm concerned about.
The idea is to avoid a detrimental impact, right, by doing this.
Right.
Okay.
I can tell that.
Certainly not to create.
Anyone else? One of the reports referenced monitoring. Is there monitoring proposed as part of this project?
Yeah, there is. We had recommended installation of slope inclinometers, which are basically another drill hole in the ground again from the top, and you install an install casing that you're able to see if
it's a reading.
Gives a reading to see if the slope is moving. Is it moving at an accelerated rate? And really, you're looking at if there is movement, what is the rate of the movement, etc.
Is vibration monitoring required for the size of this disturbance from the freehold soil? It's not.
No, I don't think so. No. I've never seen them request that.
Just one more question regarding, obviously this is going to be the new structure, the new home is going to be an extra story tall, correct? Did you give any consideration to the existing soil now, being able to handle the additional live load above?
Yeah, well, that's how we model the building. The stories really don't matter to me. It's the load, and we did model a surcharge load at the top of the slope from the house.
Based upon the design of this house.
Right.
Your calculations all were based on the finished product.
Correct.
Yeah. Any other questions from the board? Do you have any questions from the public? Mr. Fisher.
One quick one for you, Mr. Fisher, 99 30 Avenue. 20-foot long soil nails driven in at 35 degrees. Is that going to go under the neighbor's property?
No.
At any point?
Yeah.
Do we have any hands raised on Zoom?
We have the same participant. His hand is not raised.
Very good. Thank you very much. So,
I just had Mr. Ward's planning testimony, Chairman, with your indulgence.
Sure.
We got the ball in the red zone.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Applicant recalls Patrick Ward. This time with regard to his licensed professional planning testimony.
Okay.
Back under oath, Mr. Ward.
No problem. I'll just walk the board through nonconformities, if any, are eliminated, unchanged, and then also reiterate the proposed relief we're seeking so it's accurate for the board's notes. So we have one existing nonconformity that is to be eliminated. It's the front yard setback to Ocean Boulevard. It's existing at 23.40, where 25 feet is required. It's now proposed at 32.66 feet. Again, eliminating that non-conforming condition away from the slope. We have an existing non-conformity that's unchanged. That's the minimum lot shape diameter. We calculated that as 54.87, where 60 feet is required, so just under the minimum requirement. Proposed variances related to the R2 zoning. Front yard setback to Hill Road existing is 20.60, where 25 feet is required, and we're improving that to 21.05 feet. The rear yard setback, which is the east side of the home, existing and proposed at 11.70, where 35 feet is required. The maximum building height is just for stories only. The house existing today is two stories. We're proposing a third story. This is a function of the slope on the south side of the home. It's actually a subterranean basement. On the north side, it's a walkout basement. It is important to note that the physical building height, even with the additional structure space that Mr. Barnagian referenced, is still about 3 feet lower than the maximum 35 feet. I mentioned earlier that we are removing eliminating five variances by removing the pool. The rear yard setback to the patio is not a variance. It actually complies with the required 5 feet. And then now for the steep slope ordinance, as we've seen here, the mass of the property is in steep slope or contains steep slope. Everywhere beyond the existing area of prior disturbance is steep. We reduced that area of development overall footprint, but we do need variances based on the analysis and applying the borough's steep slope ordinance. So maximum lot coverage, the maximum permitted is 2,253.10. We're proposing at 4,485. Again, a 400 square foot improvement from what was initially proposed. Maximum impervious area was calculated to be 2,666.54 square feet. Also proposed at 4,485.
Also 400 feet better.
Also 400 feet better, yep. These two variances are mainly a result of the proposing the patio compared to existing conditions, which again will be located in an existing or developed flattened area on the property. It's really the only usable yard area, pulled further away from the slope than what's existing. It's worth noting, again, that building and total coverage do comply with the R2 requirements. And then maximum lot disturbance, the maximum permit is 3,466.50 square feet, and we're proposing 7,550 square feet, which is, again, a betterment of 200 square feet than what was originally proposed.
205.
Thank you, Mr. Akins.
Thank you.
So, onto the positive criteria here. In my opinion, all the variances can be analyzed as C1 hardship variances, and that's due to the shape of the existing lot, its two frontages, and its topographic conditions. So, being at the intersection of Ocean Boulevard and Hill Road, the lot has an unusual triangular shape and contains two front yard areas. The front yards take up most of the property, the required front yard setbacks, I should say. So additionally, the topography of the site limits the development really only to previously disturbed areas, or developed areas, I should say. We're working within those areas and reducing the overall footprint of development. The conditions, the shape, two front yards, and the topography limit the extent to which this property can be developed by right, leading to the hardship. I was going to go into the flexible C2 criteria, but I do think the hardship argument is strong here, considering the existing conditions. So the establishing the hardship can satisfy the positive criteria. So for the negative criteria, when we analyze that, we explore impacts to the borough, its residents, and neighboring properties. In my opinion, there are no impacts from this proposed development. The proposed dwelling is in a smaller footprint, with some of the accessory improvements pulled away from the slope area. The applicant is consolidating various deck and tiered patio spaces into a single rear patio that will be visually screened to the neighbor's dwelling by the retaining wall. No variance is required on that side. The dwelling physical height, building coverage, and impervious coverage comply with the R2 zoning requirements and are therefore appropriate in size. And the drainage design provides a more stable site solution than what exists today. This is a unique lot. There are a handful in the borough that are pretty unique. This is an unusual shape and triangle, and it has limited usable area. The site improvements and proposed locations were carefully considered with the ordinance in mind, and we feel we've improved existing conditions where we could. So to summarize, the proposed development would not cause substantial detriment to the public good nor substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan. As you consider the negative criteria, I always like to highlight the word substantial. The board's not looking to see if approving this application would cause a detriment to the public or an impairment to the zone plan. You're looking to see if it would cause a substantial detriment or a substantial impairment. I don't believe the application rises to the level of substantial in either case. So on balance, it's my opinion that the benefits of this application outweigh its detriments, giving the board the ability to approve the application with confidence.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Chairman, board members, no further questions of Mr. Ward.
I'm seeing the steep slope variance for disturbance as being one of the most significant requests that you're making of this board. It's about double the allowable disturbance. Is there a way to mitigate that and phase the construction at all? Is there a way to not open up and disturb as much of the property at one time?
Yeah, and I think this goes into the driveway, right? So I think an important factor of this, and I would say more conservatively, we're including the driveway in the limited disturbance. And as you can see on the aerials and the exhibits we've done, the driveway
pretty large compared to the size of the home. The driveway is paved today. It's going to remain paved. That's not going to be demoed during construction. That's your access, right? So Frail Soil is going to want to see stabilized access. That'll act there. It'll be resurfaced. So again, out of an abundance of caution, we are
including
it. I'm not going to say we should not include it. I think we should keep that in there so the approval is in place if it is approved. But I would say we can offer a sequence of construction. I think it's important for the soil nailing and the stabilization measures. We can include that as to, you know, driveway. The driveway should be resurfaced after the structure of the home is up.
No issue providing a sequencing plan or phasing plan, if you will, Mr. Romeyer.
I believe we've done that for other applications in the borough, so no problem whatsoever.
Could you define resurface? What is it?
Yeah, so
what does it mean to be resurfaced?
Very simply,
What's the material today? Is it macadam?
I believe it's a paver stone. Is that correct? Yeah. So I don't think the applicant has decided the final material, but any driveway has a base, whether it's compacted earth or gravel or something like that. Our goal is to not just rip that up and expose the dirt. It needs to be supplemented, it'll be supplemented, but it's really, we're resurfacing. So if it's a paver or if it's macadam or concrete, we're just resurfacing that. We don't want to dig up everything and start over.
Good. Thank you.
So the sequence of construction that's being proposed is to demo the site first, do the slope stabilization with the nails, then once it's completed, start with the dwelling construction itself, stabilize, do all the stabilizing plantings, and then back your way out with the driveway.
Yeah.
And that'll mitigate, that's your method, or proposed method, to mitigate the limited disturbance variance needed.
And the installation of the perimeter drains to get the roof runoff and the hardscape runoff to the municipal stormwater system as well. That would also be part of that.
Excellent. Is the soil nailing component going to be inspected by your own engineer and certified and with a certification provided to the borough?
So I'll ask Mr. Keller if he typically provides that service.
That service is typically provided. We provide it, but I would recommend that an engineer.
So no objection, Mr. Romeyer, providing a supplemental report by Mr. Keller with regard to his inspection of the nail system as it's installed.
Yeah, I think it's a fair ask.
It's a reasonable because ask. No objection on the applicant's part.
That's a major element that's supporting your request to the board. So ensuring that it's built correctly is important.
And I think from my standpoint as the applicant's attorney, advising the applicant with regard to making a very considerable investment, we want to have our expert's eyes on it. So I have no issue whatsoever stipulating to that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all. Is everybody? Questions from the board? Seeing none, questions from the public? Mr. Dockery, we still have no hands up, no none?
No hands.
Okay. Comments from the public? Oh, sorry, you wrapped up?
Applicant rests.
Not, I wasn't trying. I wasn't.
Yeah, within 3 minutes.
I was kind of trying to rush it, but not really.
Not bad shooting. Thank you, Mr. Stein. Heads up.
Yes. Comments from the public. Seeing none. For discussion.
Something happened to the soil itself. I mean, it's kind of a win-win. The house is not stable, and the soil needs to be fixed. So.
I'd like to see the landscape architecture plan, you know, like I think that should be submitted with this, you know, understanding that plants don't just play a role of being decorative, that they actually are utilitarian and provide a lot of structural support, etc. And also I think that if trees are being proposed to be removed, that they should be presented to the board, like the size of them, the impact, you know, all of that. So, you know, regardless, whatever we decide with this plan, if it does go forward, I would prefer that those two items be included when the plans are resubmitted for approval.
And we've done that in the past, Doug. That's reasonable, Mr. Higgins, that's reasonable.
We said stipulated to provide.
For sure, yeah. Yeah. I jumped in there as a condition of approval is what you're saying.
Exactly what I'm saying.
All right, good. Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure everybody. All right. Anybody else? All right. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Need a second?
I'll second the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I assume that the motion is with the conditions that have just been discussed,
yes,
including providing a landscape plan to preserve slopes set to the satisfaction of your engineer, to provide for maximum slope stabilization, tree safe plan with identification of any trees to be removed in compliance with the borough regulations, monitoring to be implemented with respect to the stability of the slope, engineering monitoring during construction for the soil nail installations, staging to mitigate slope disturbance, with the sequence that Mr. Romeyer talked about, which included first starting off demolition, then stabilizing the slope, then construction, and finally driveway completion.
Mr. Higgins, that's agreeable, yeah?
Yes, and the drainage system.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Hawley?
No.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Ms. DePasca?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
No.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
No.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good evening. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks very much. Board, thank you very much for hanging in. Need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make sure it's a good hearing.
All in favor?
Aye.